This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
KPFT Houston.
I am what I am. I am his own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little bride in. My world, and it's not a place. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, I am what I am. Noise.
Hello, this is Jimmy Carper, co-executive producer of After Hours and male grand marshal of Houston's first nighttime parade way back in 1997. I'm inviting you to be a part of the family and join us for the 30th anniversary of the Houston Pride Parade, the continuing Montrose tradition, on Saturday, June 28th, starting at 8:45 p.m. along the Lower West Timer. Then join us for After Hours at 1 a.m. for a recap and reflection of Pride and the annual story of Stonewall. All here on KPFT Houston.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. I don't think it's enough for a look. Oh, 14. My mind's already thinking ahead to 1-2 weeks.
I see.
It's the 14th of June, right? June.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently, I'm already feeling that crash from the drink. In the radio world, we say it's Father's Day. That's what I wanted to open with. I've got daddy songs in there we got to play.
Mm. Daddy songs. Who are you?
I don't know.
No, no, Big Daddy there.
Oh, oh. It says Big Daddy.
It does. It does.
It's over on the side.
Yeah.
My name is Chris Harrison, and I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. How was your week?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh. Hands at the door.
It's overalls and a pink shirt. That can only be Whitney.
Ooh, it is Whitney. And you will be hearing her later on in the show. We've got Leather Line tonight.
Leather Ties,
that's right. And Michelle from Hell and Whitney will be here to talk about Sin Fest coming up next month. That is just one evening of just...
Hedonism.
Yes. Yes. Kinkfest is what I like to call it. Sinfest. And before that, we've got Emperor Bob from the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Inc. Houston.
Whatever. Okay, to talk about what the court's doing.
Can you make the name any longer, you know?
Yeah, we try.
Just wanted to check.
Just wanted to check.
All right, you can still put on there Texas and USA.
Yes, there we go. Okay.
Oh, and seeing some of how they get in drag, you know, you may have to put what planet we're from.
Well, you forgot Galveston.
Oh, yes.
Galveston's on there also.
Galveston, too.
Houston, Galveston, too. Texas, yes. USA, North America.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's getting like the initials you put before the Pride Parade. By the time you get done with the parade, it's gone.
That's why they just call it Pride Parade now. Speaking of that, June is Pride Month, and so I've kind of been using the opening of the show to play anthems, gay anthems. And this week we had Gloria Gaynor with I Am What I Am. And, oh, my God. And,
ew.
Uh-huh. It's a girl.
Whitney is kissing my neck. What is going on here?
Well.
I don't know, but did it turn you on?
Oh, it did it first. Anyway, no, Whitney's a good friend. I've known
her
for
many,
many years.
I got a feeling we're not
going
to have to worry about doing the show after the Pride Parade, because I got a sneaky suspicion that we got another 4-week vacation coming
if we're
starting this already.
Anyway, and I just thought that was a good lead-in for tonight's show, and it went particularly well after the last song that was played on Hot and Bothered. I mean, just think the song titles, put them together. I Touch Myself, and well, I Am What I Am. Okay.
Nice try, Jimmy.
Yeah, okay. It was, you know, spur of the moment.
Yeah. The closest you're going to get to a segue is if Stanley buys you a scooter.
Oh, ouch. I'll just use his.
He's got one?
He will. I'm sure. Let's see. Stuff going on in and around Houston. Celebrate history with WAMU. I saw this and I thought, is that a new radio station? Then I thought, oh, no, that's Washington Mutual.
Yes, the bank.
Good old WAMU. The Pride Committee is proud to announce that the recent expansion of our Pride History exhibit that showcased at the Washington Mutual Montrose location, located at Westheimer and Montrose, traditionally held only during our festival. This exhibit, brought to you by several generous members of our community, will be held through the end of June for viewing. This coming Monday, June the 16th, Washington Mutual will be opening its doors for a social, especially for Pride supporters. You'll be one of the first to see this exhibit, learn a bit of Houston DLBT history, and gain a new knowledge on the struggles our community overcame to create the neighborhood we all share today. Admission is free, and the atmosphere is set for a family-oriented environment. In addition to a fantastic history exhibit, we'll be offering some amazing door prizes that include Melissa Etheridge tickets and more.
Where is this located at?
That's Washington Mutual at the corner of Westheimer and Montrose. Actually, no, that's not right. Richmond and Montrose.
I was about to say.
They have this thing, and then the sign says Westheimer and Montrose.
I'm sitting there going.
No, it isn't. It's at Richmond.
Valero,
yeah,
Aladdin.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Tacos.
You're right.
And empty. It's like.
No. It's at Richmond and Montrose. Okay. Richmond and Montrose.
That's
yes.
That's my bank.
Yes.
And my favorite branch.
WAMU! Okay.
Yes, thank you.
So much
you,
for
WAMU.
Thank you, WAMU.
No, spank you, WAMU. This is the leather show.
Oh, spank you. Spank you, WAMU. And going on later on today, What's in a Name? The original Daddy of Montrose 2008 contest will be held at Mary's, naturally, Sunday, June the 15th at 4 p.m. 4 p.m., that's right, in the afternoon, so, you know, it's over and, you know, it's a school night and they don't, you know, whatever.
School's out.
Not for everyone.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Houston Community College has still got vocational courses going on.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay. For all the HCC vocational students that show up at Mary's, whoever's a bartender there, run them a tab. They'll get a round on me.
And, of course, every Wednesday night at Tony's Corner Pocket, the Tony's Corner Divas. And that's featuring Lillian Devereaux with her host of and bevy of beauties, Anne-Marie Gill, Selena St. John, Marcia Mink Gill, and Regina Dane. That's Wednesdays, every Wednesdays at 9 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. You're going to see one of the finest and most professional drag queen shows you've ever seen. It's something that Houston's been needing for a very long time. Go check them out. They do singles and production numbers, and it's just a whole lot of fun. Very entertaining. And let's see, stuff coming up with ICOH, Imperial Court of Houston, Space City Empire. Please do not say anything about that, because that is a special gift for Robert when we do the leather ties. I saw that in Hawaii, and I couldn't resist. Don't say it. Please don't say it. Is that not perfect?
Yeah, we're definitely getting 4 weeks off.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't know what is.
Earlier this evening, Her Imperial Majesty, Ginger Vitus, hosted Motown Comes to Montrose show at EJ's. Now, I know that was fun, and I had to miss it because Stanley's in town, and we had other plans. So, I'm...
Oh, come on. The early bird special's over by then.
Stop it.
Had to get home in time to watch Golden Girls.
There you go. And, of course, on Wednesday, the Midweek Madness show, this week hosted by Sean Carter. That happens at EJ's at 9 p.m. And then on the 21st, we've got the Disney show hosted by Imperial Prince Christopher and Grand Duchess MJ. That's happening at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas at 8:30 p.m. And later on that evening, we will have the Monarchs of ICOH here on After Hours. Then, coming up Thursday, for other folks, June's Gay Men's Pause Social. This is for HIV-positive guys. It's happening this Thursday, June the 19th, and it's always the third Thursday of each month, at the In and Out Bar, located at 1537 North Shepherd. That's just past 15th Street, on the left side, going north on Shepherd. 7:30 to 11-ish, or whenever. So, you've got some stuff over there?
I'm writing.
Oh, sorry.
I had a phone call, but they teased, they hung up.
Oh, okay.
Come out every Thursday night to the BRB, 2400 Brazos, for free line dancing.
Ooh.
June 19th will be La Cumbia de Antonio.
Mmm.
That's your line and mixer dance, and your couples dance is West Coast Swing.
Ooh.
For more information, you can check out southerncountryhouston.com. Don't let your pumps puncture your summer. Spend an afternoon of fun and fundraising at the 6th Annual Mr. Mint Julep.
Yes.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
July 20th at 2 p.m. at Rich's, 2401 San Jacinto. For more information or purchase a table, contact Sona Alton at 713-830-3015. All proceeds benefit LegacyCommunityHealth.org.
That is probably the biggest fundraiser that Legacy has going on in the community. They raise thousands of dollars at this thing, and it's just top-notch entertainment.
You've already did this, which is good because I can't read it.
Okay.
It's time for a real man's show to be held this June. Bears, Cowboys, leather, all men. Pack your jocks, briefs, or whatever. Come to EJ's for the first ever Patriarch of Montrose 2008. This will be at June 22nd at 7 p.m. at EJ's Bar, hosted by Ken Claude. Oh, dear God. Hey, Jimmy, Blast from the Past.
Oh, hello. My.
June 22nd at 7 p.m. at EJ's. It's benefited for Legacy Community Health Services. Mm-hmm. Mr. Tony's Corner Pocket 2008 Cubby Christopher Sparkle Boy Prado presents I Got My Pride on Friday, June 27th.
There is so much stuff going on June 27th. My goodness.
Over at Tony's Corner Pocket Bar, 817 West Dallas. Showtime is 8 p.m. Benefiting the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Reign 24. And you'll probably talk more about that.
Oh, yes.
I just started reading and kept going. Lazarus House First Annual Movable Feast, a progressive dinner event, will be on Sunday, June 22nd from 3 to 8. For more information, contact Melissa Sarah at 713-942-7400. I don't see any website for that. Houston Pride Band presents Celebrate 30 Years of Music, Visibility, and Pride on Friday, June 27th, 7:30 at the Zilka Hall, Hobby Center for the Performing Arts.
Oops.
For information and tickets, go to www.houstonprideband.org.
The Gay Men's Chorus is doing a concert also, and I couldn't get the flyer to print on my machine, so I don't have that information.
The third annual Noche de Gala. Take two. Third annual Noche de Gala, a black tie affair on Friday, June 27th. At the Greer and Loudermilk Conference Center Grand Ballroom.
Yeah,
this is a benefit for GAIO, Scholarship Fund, Camp Hope, Lazarus House, the Lexi Bowen Community Fund, and the GLBT Community Center.
Yeah, this is the big, big ball right before the parade.
For more information, go to HoustonGAIO.org. That's Houston, G-A-L-L-O, .org. Don't forget also, the pin and poster contest is going on for the Houston Council of Clubs, Louis 36.
Mm.
The deadline is July 16th. You can find out more information at louishouston.com with all the pin and poster requirements.
I thought it was Louis Weekend.
Louis Weekend, that's right.
Louisweekend.com.
The webmaster will yell at me later.
Okay.
Probably beat me, too.
Oh, if you're lucky.
He'd enjoy it. I'm new at doing this, the promo for HCC. It's one of the few things I still say I'm a Louis virgin with. Thank God you didn't have a camera.
Yeah.
Let's go to our quickie.
Okay. It is time for the After Hours Quickie, and I have Bob Skinner here, Emperor of the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc., Houston. And I want to thank you for being here, Bob, because I know you were at a show in Webster and drove all the way in.
That's correct, Jimmy.
What was going on down there?
Well, we had our first show at Club Eden.
Mm-hmm.
It was a large show. We had in excess of 30-some-odd entertainers.
Oh, my goodness.
From throughout the whole community.
Woo, that's a marathon show.
Yes, it is.
It's starting to rival Mint Julep when it gets that big.
Right, exactly. So I left probably about midway of the first set to come in.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Because we love having you folks on. Because, you know, we can talk about your shows every week, and we do, but it just has more oomph when it's coming from the Emperor or another line member or, you know, someone with the organization.
Right.
And I know you've got a lot of things coming up.
Yes, we do.
So what are some of them?
Well, tomorrow evening at the BRB, starting at 7 p.m., Her Majesty's and My King Fathers are presenting the King Father Show.
Ah.
And then followed...
What time is that?
It's at 7 p.m.
Okay, so they can still do the Daddy of Montrose at 4 and then hop over.
Exactly, because that's what we're planning on doing.
Uh-huh.
On Friday, originally scheduled for Saturday, is production volume 2 from Broadway to Hollywood We decided not to compete with Cyndi Lauper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the True Colors Tour.
Yes, yes. Exactly, because yours truly will be at the Woodlands.
Me too. I'll be there.
Thoroughly enjoyed the show last year and couldn't miss it this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved our production show to Friday night. We'll be at EJ's starting at 8 p.m., and it will be hosted by the Peasant Royales for Rain 24, Marquis John Paul and Zarina for Life, Crystal Rayleigh Love.
Wow.
And it will be benefiting the Rain charities, which are Legacy Community Health Services, and Assist Hers.
Okay, if you're doing a show with Crystal, I know there's going to be Jello shots.
Think maybe?
I think that's almost have to.
Oh, I tell you what, John Paul is really getting into selling Jello shots.
Oh, he did really?
He sold them last night at our show.
Well, if he wears that little red outfit that he wore while he was running for Mr. Gay Pride,
mm-hmm.
he'll sell a lot of them.
Right.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe it.
Okay.
That was hot.
On Sunday, the 22nd,
mm-hmm.
we're having Happy Birthday. Imperial Prince Royale, Susan Hayes,
mm-hmm.
is hosting it. It will be at Tony's Corner Pocket at 7 p.m.
Good. Good.
Watch for us in the parade. We are unit number 79.
Ah.
We'll be on a float. And some of the court will be also be walking. So we'll be also performing for the reviewing stands.
Oh, yeah, really?
And along the parade route.
Great.
And we'll also be tossing beads.
Wow, you're going all out this
year.
Yes,
we are.
Wow.
This is our 25th anniversary year.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, it is.
That's right. Of course it is. You're of course it is. Duh.
And speaking of that,
yes,
we have finalized our contract with our hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We will be hosting at the Sheraton Brook Hollow this year.
Ah, good, good.
So that is finally been put in place.
Mm-hmm. That's coming
so now
up in
we'll,
January, right?
Right. It okay. will be January 17th.
Mm-hmm.
The whole weekend will be full of festivities.
So if I go to Hawaii, I better go early so I can be back.
Yes, you better. Okay. You better be there this year, Jimmy.
I know,
for
I know.
My step down.
I know, I know, I know. Oh, my gosh. So for those folks, few folks out there who may not understand what the court is, can you give a little synopsis of how you're set up and what is it that you do?
All right. We are a camp organization. All of our titles are camp in nature, and they're based upon the European monarchies.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Kimberly and I are emperor and empress.
Yes.
Susan, who I mentioned just now, and Marsha Mink Gill are imperial prince royale and imperial princess royale. And it goes on down. We have dukes, we have dons, we have reinas. It's all camp in nature.
Okay. And you as emperor, you and Kimberly are co-presidents?
Co-presidents.
Of the
That's
organization.
Correct.
So it's not just, your title is a bit more than camp because you're actually, you're at the helm of this organization.
Exactly.
And you two are the ones that kind of direct the making of the money. Because
correct.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah.
We oversee fundraising operations throughout the year, and all of our monies for this year are split.
Mm-hmm.
75% monies raised will go to Legacy Community Health Services,
mm-hmm.
and 25% will be going to Assist Hers.
Fabulous, fabulous.
And
great organization.
Speaking of tonight's show, this was a direct benefit.
You do those too.
Right.
Yeah.
This was a second annual direct benefit for Assist Hers.
Ah.
Put on by Falcon,
mm-hmm.
Scott Kenyon, and Chris Sushi Vaughn.
Yes.
And we have several annual shows throughout mm-hmm. the year. And then we also do once a month, a direct benefit.
Ah.
And tonight was the direct benefit for June.
No, and with a show like that, you're probably going to rake in some bucks.
We certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Because sisters can really use the money.
How was the crowd down there?
The house was packed.
Great. Great.
And this club is phenomenal. It's got two, it's split into like two separate clubs.
Mm-hmm.
A dance club on one side and then a show bar on the other side with a quiet area and game area.
Sure.
And both sides were packed tonight.
And this is the name of the club again?
Club Eden.
And where is
it
located?
It's located at the corner in the strip center at NASA Road 1 and I-45.
Okay. Okay.
And if you ever get a chance to go down there.
Shouldn't be hard to find.
That's correct. And in 3 weeks, the owners are opening Club Adams.
Ooh.
Which will be across the freeway, about three blocks closer into Houston.
Yeah.
And we're also going to be doing a show there.
Great.
We don't have a date yet because they're not exactly sure when the club's going to open.
Mm-hmm.
I have one other that I want to mention tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Her Majesty and I will be hosting the first annual Fire and Ice Ball. This year, it will be held at EJ's, starting at 8 p.m. on July 26th.
Okay.
And this is by proclamation of our Dowager Empress, Cheyenne. Last year, she set this up, and it'll be an annual affair.
Great. Sounds great. I cannot close the segment without congratulating a member of your organization.
Okay. I always like to hear that.
His Imperial Majesty Chris Beck on being named an heir. Now, can you explain to the audience what that means? Because it is a big deal for your organization.
Yes, it is. Very big.
You're part of an international group that I don't know how many different...
There are 72 courts throughout Canada, the U.S., and Mexico.
Okay.
And we are governed by a council, which is made up of heirs.
Yes.
We also have a parliament, which is represented by every court throughout the whole system.
Okay.
But Chris Beck, this past week, was named heir to Nicole the Great, who is our tutelar head.
Yes.
And it's a very big deal. He's going to be invested in San Diego in a few weeks.
That's great.
At San Diego's coronation, which will be held August the 2nd. And several of us are planning on attending.
That's great. I'm sure he's very excited about it.
He is very excited.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
Yes, he is.
He's helped... He's helped a lot of people and a lot of organizations, and many times he's done it on the QT. You know, he's not in it for self gratification. He's
That's
in there
true.
to help people out, and I really like that in the guy. So on that basis alone, I'm really glad that he got this.
He's very deserving of the position.
He is. Yes, he's been. One of the guys who have been there for GCAM in the past,
right.
And so we're very happy at GCAM, and we're very happy here at After Hours for that to happen. And Bob, thank you again for coming in and driving all the way in and missing half the show to be here with us.
Well, I would like to have been able to have stayed, but this is very important for us
to get
the word out about our shows, get people to come. And
absolutely,
help us raise money
and folks, yeah, I mean the court puts on really great shows. So, you know, if you see one advertised or you hear about one on the air, go see one and see what I'm talking about. You're going to have fun, and it's a fun atmosphere. It's a kind of a family atmosphere, actually.
Exactly.
We always have fun going.
We're a very large family.
Mm-hmm.
Our reign this year is built upon fun and the community. And by that, we are getting all organizations involved. I'd like to go back to the production volume 2 show that we've got coming up, the Broadway to Hollywood. We're inviting any and all community-based organizations to join us and perform a number or two. All numbers should be from a Broadway show or a movie musical and have at least two performers.
Oh, you want production numbers?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Production. Hello.
Right.
Oh.
We're doing four production shows this year.
Yeah.
This is a first for us. It's something that I wanted to get started and get the community involved with us.
That's a good
idea. The first one that we had four organizations join us. And we're hoping to have as many, if not more, this next week.
Good. And this is coming up when again?
It will be on Saturday, June 21st.
That's
At EJ's.
Yeah. Okay. That's next Saturday.
Yes.
Okay.
Next Saturday.
Okay, folks, you heard it. They want a production number, and they want it by next Saturday, so get cooking. Get cooking.
We've already got some organizations that have committed to come in, and we'd love to have anybody else that wants to.
Okay. Okay, the word is out there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, you take care.
All right.
You got something for us, Chris?
Our Father's Day song.
Okay.
Yay.
Be Afraid.
I am afraid.
By Super 8 Cum Shot.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, Daddy.
Oh, Daddy, when you were in jail, were you anybody's bitch? Oh, Daddy, when you were in jail, were you anybody's bitch?
Enough of that sound. Hey,
I thought that was for Father's Day. That was the Daddy song, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, Daddy, when you're in jail.
Daddy, Daddy.
When you're in jail, were you anybody's bitch?
Yeah. Whose bitch? Anybody's or somebody specific?
You gotta listen to the whole song. Super 8 Cum Shot.
Oh, wait. Wasn't that a Bruce LaBruce movie? Super 8? Oh, no, that was Super 8 and a Half.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Actually, they've changed names again.
Oh, what are they now? They've gone back to being the Clip Boys or what?
I'm not sure what their name is.
Oh, okay.
Now, but they changed names back to something they were.
Which Jimmy
before.
Was like, "You need to go in the sound studio. You got 2 minutes." And I was like, "But they're not playing any music that I brought." And he said, "No, but this one's special for Daddy's Day." And I was like, "Okay." Well, welcome to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert, and I'm your host for Leather Ties on After Hours KPFT. Do you need to make any announcements before we start?
Not until the top of the hour.
Okay, top of the hour. Okay, we got some time.
Yes, we only we only handle the top of the hour. We don't deal with the bottom of the hour.
Oh, so you think you're a top now.
Click.
Click. Dowtown, goodbye. That's so RuPaul. Okay. Put the corset on, baby.
You may be the daddy in there, but I'm the daddy on this side.
Yeah. I'll
wield some power.
You've got the power to cut off the mic, so
well,
we love
put
you.
I'm like a chair in here.
You're bringing
I don't
chair
care where you take a chair, just as long as it's elsewhere.
Oh, Virgin's coming in the studio again. Look out.
Yay.
Here we go. You bring another chair in for Baby Bear.
Look that one right there.
Okay. No, that's what you'll be sitting on. He gets the back. You get to sit over in the corner. I know you like to sit on cold leather anyway. I've heard stories about you, Virgin. Anyway, once again, welcome to Leather Ties. I'm your host, Daddy Bear Robert T. Tonight we're going to be talking about the history of the leather culture and the BDSM culture, where it came from, what everything means. And in the studio tonight, I have Master Buzz Lawson. He's written a book, Resurrection. He's coming out with another book soon, we hope, because I'm tired of waiting for the second and the third book to come out.
You already have the manuscript for the second.
Yeah, I have the manuscript for the second. I have the signed manuscript, and you won't let me read one page of the third book, so I'm really pissed at you, but you're in my studio tonight anyway because I love
you. It's not finished. You'll read it when it's finished.
Yeah, but I got preview chapters before. That's all I'm saying. And we also have Slave Kirby here tonight.
Hello, all.
Hello, all. And Virgin's sitting in. He's not allowed to talk right now. Say hi, Virgin.
Hi.
Okay. Oh, wasn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was precious.
And
saccharine. Saccharine. Yeah. No, there's more. What was the pink stuff? Sweet and low?
Yeah.
Because he causes cancer. Virgin's just looking at me, giving me the finger now.
Okay, if you're going to glow in the dark, go sit over there.
Ooh. Well, he is a redhead wearing white, so what do you expect?
Oh, bad time.
Actually, I wouldn't call that white.
It's kind of like an off white.
Bone ecru. It's called all temperature.
Dirty.
All temperature cheer. You know, with the whitening. All right.
Roll around in the mud much? Do you?
No, he's a redhead. They tint everything. You know.
Oh, ew.
I said tint, not taint.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, that too.
So let's start with leather culture, since that was basically here first.
Well, actually, no, it wasn't.
BDSM. Well, I mean, if you're going to talk, I got into an argument with somebody about this BDSM. Somebody was saying, "No, how dare you BDSM? The Marquis de Sade, blah blah blah." Okay, there's a difference between torturing somebody without their consent and doing it with their consent. And to me, torturing, maiming, and killing people without their consent—that's
not really
BDSM.
Before the establishment of leather as a culture, BDSM existed, not necessarily as a culture, but BDSM itself existed. And it predated leather culture.
Well, as torture.
No.
Done for fun with consent.
Even as consensual play. One of the things that where the lines get blurred is that leather people of leather as a culture, practice BDSM in their private lives, but the culture itself is not wrapped around BDSM.
Okay, so if you want to give me your definition of a leather culture and the definition of BDSM culture.
Leather as a culture was established by the soldiers, motorcycle soldiers returning from World War II.
Right.
The uniforms, World War I, I'm sorry. The uniforms combined the leather uniforms of the motorcycle soldier with what we know to be the slave uniform from ancient Roman culture. The blending of the two established a culture of masters, master owners, and slave property, guided by an immutable rank and file.
Mm-hmm.
Defining BDSM as a culture is difficult for me because I see it from an outside standpoint. I know several people who are involved in BDSM as a culture, and I honor it as a culture because each of the two cultures I consider to be sacred in their own right. Each has to exist. There is a need for them out there. So as far as...
I also see the lines blurring, and there are a lot of people within both of the cultures that are wanting to blend the two.
There is an ongoing attempt to homogenize the two, and I really don't want to get into that because it is a very controversial issue, and I really don't want to tromp on any toes. I would rather discuss this with people face-to-face, one-on-one. And I do have several pieces out there that I've written on this subject. But the one thing that I will say in establishing this is that the two cultures are separate. They do, however, share similarity. Strong similarities in that, like I say, BDSM as a culture has its own following and its own needs and its own hierarchy. And leather as a culture is an established culture and draws a certain focus. And that focus needs to be there for those people who are looking for that focus. The similarities, we need to learn as two separate cultures to honor our own as well as each other's culture and to share resources and space, territory. We need to blur the tribal boundaries just enough to benefit each tribe.
Okay.
Without destroying the tribe.
So would you
themselves.
Say then, in that aspect, would it be safe to say that leather culture could be defined more as a mental discipline and BDSM more of a physical discipline? One is more about structure and the mental discipline of the structure and the ritual of routine. And one is more about the exploration of physical limit?
Each of the two cultures has their own mindset, their own spirituality, their own structure. They are different, but similar. And it is in the similarities that people are finding a necessity to homogenize the two cultures. And unfortunately, I believe that both cultures are suffering from the forced homogenization without a focus on honoring the difference. And it's entirely possible, as far as I'm concerned, to cling to your own traditions and honor those of another and share space and resources.
Well, yeah.
And this is the focus that I focus a lot of my energy on, is how do we do this? How do we mix and not homogenize?
Lose the actual history and practices of each culture.
How do we mix without diluting our own cultures?
Well, then again, how do you mix and not piss everybody off? Because, I mean, you get the what you call the old guard leather, which is a real misnomer, but
right.
You get what is considered the old guard leather, the traditionalist, the diehard, hardcore leather people that say, no way in hell, and how dare you disrespect my culture and my protocols by doing this or saying that or touching my slave without permission. Whereas in the BDSM culture, it is a very natural thing to do that, and it is an accepted protocol. But then the BDSM people will say, "How dare you talk to me that way? That's not how it works." And I am seeing that between the two cultures, there's not a lot of give and take, and there's a lot of more word fighting than people sitting down and actually talking.
Okay, you began with a question and ended with a statement.
I know.
I think I know how to address
yeah.
this.
Yeah, I did, because I'm stating this is how I see what's happening. How are we going to fix this so people can actually sit down? What do you see?
One word. Education. Both of the cultures need to educate themselves and each other about what is acceptable in that culture so that we don't end up inadvertently stepping on each other's toes.
Right.
Now, what's acceptable in one culture may not be acceptable in another, and how are they to know if no one has ever told them? So, in each culture honors the responsibility to mentor other members of that culture. Why aren't we mentoring one another as well? Why aren't we not sharing what these customs are so that we don't inadvertently step on each other's toes and cause ill feelings and, you know, basically what I consider to be almost, at this point, a culture war.
But I kind of see it that way, too. But I also see that I know people who are BDSMers, and I know people who are leather. They mm-hmm. identify as a BDSMer or a leather. The leather know the BDSMers' protocols. The BDSMers know the leather protocols, but they don't respect it. I mean, how are you going to overcome that? A BDSMer says, yes, I know this is leather protocol. I choose not to accept that. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. And I also see on the leather side, some leather people saying, I understand the protocol there. I don't agree with it. And because, I don't know, it's less strict or it's more strict. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm not going to honor that protocol.
Okay, and I think that the staunchest of either culture will say that that is irresponsible behavior. And we should be teaching our own to be more respectful. Okay, it may not be a protocol that I would honor in my own house, but I will fight to the death your right to exercise your protocol in your home. And if I'm in your venue, I am going to respect your protocol. Within the guidelines that I get to observe my own while I'm there. In other words, you know, my personal belief and my personal space is my personal space. But if I'm going to take my personal space into your public space, I'm going to honor what you're doing and not question it. And we need to teach one another how to respect one another so that we can share space.
Okay, let me give you an example, because this has happened to me. Go to a dungeon party or a play space for an event, and coming as a leather person, we have a little bit separate protocols as far as negotiating a scene, going directly up to a sub, talking to a sub directly, or negotiating a scene directly with a sub that is collared. I would find it, and I do find it offensive.
And I know why.
That they would go bypass me because that is my property.
Right. I know why that is. I know why you feel
that way.
To them,
they don't see it, but if they want us to respect that play venue and the protocols within that play venue, they got to also understand that you can't just assume because somebody's there. If you see a caller, you can't just assume it's a play caller or a BDS, that this could be somebody's property, and to find out who owns you. Who do I speak to?
Okay, this is...
But I don't see that happening.
Okay, this is where education is going to be really, really important and playing a role. I mean, I really want these two groups to be able to share space and resources because there
is... Well, I think they could learn so much from each other. We could all learn so much from each other.
And we do.
Grow and really
we
grow.
Do, but unfortunately now, in order to learn that, we have to sift through all of these ill feelings that have been created by, like I say, somewhat irresponsible behavior. This is the way we do things. Why don't you? And that's really irresponsible.
Well, that's the statement that I don't like. We do it this way. Why don't you? We do it this way.
You should.
How do
too.
You? No. But that shouldn't be it. It should be we do it this way. How do you do it?
Right.
Okay. We'll respect how you do it. You respect how we do it, and let's go from there.
Okay.
But I don't see that happening.
The difference between I'll give a little bit of instruction here because this is basically what I am an old leather person. Call it the old guard. I don't like that word any more than anybody else does.
But it's the only way to define the generation you came into the scene, into the culture.
We'll call it old school.
Old school. Oh, good. do we got MC Hammer on file anywhere? We're going old school. No, don't really do it.
I'm not
going
to touch that.
Speaking of...
Oh, boo. Can't touch that. Oh, come on. Get your hammer pants on, baby.
Speaking about,
I can find baggy pants?
No. We'll make some for you, Chris. Oh, get the nun outfit. I'm sorry.
Speaking of the way we...
He looks so good.
One word, hoopa.
Oh, yes,
hoopa. Slave Kirby's got it. Hoopa. Chris is ignoring us. He's playing on the computer right now.
In the two different cultures, we train and treat our submissives. I call them subversives, thank you.
Yeah, we call them subversives, especially Slave Kirby.
Who, me?
We train...
Who, me?
Listen to you.
We train and treat
Evil
our
monkey.
Subversives differently. In leather culture, the tradition is that a slave negotiates slavery. It's not a captured thing. It's a matter of a slave choosing slave craft... Because this is a person who desires in their deepest self to serve, not merely to service, but to serve. Now, the sexual and more personal and intimate expressions of that are something that are generally behind closed doors. Public displays are entertaining, but not required for status.
Right.
And just because a slave is a slave doesn't necessarily mean that they're a bottom in bed, or a pain pig. It means that they are a servant.
Right.
And the person who owns the collar around their neck owns that piece of property.
And that is who they are in service to.
They are in service to that person.
Now, I love the way you put it a couple of weeks ago when we were sitting there talking and you said, I don't want somebody to service me. I want to be service. I want servitude.
I want to be served more than serviced.
That's it.
Because
I'm going to make a
my slave serves me. If my need at the moment is a prurient interest, then my slave serves that need as well.
Oh, prurient. Okay, put that in layman's terms, because that's a really big, that's almost a quarter word.
Prurient, that's a 75-cent word.
Okay, 75-cent word.
Quarter a syllable.
Okay.
Well, in today's economy, it would be 45 cents, actually.
Well, I was just going to nickel a syllable because, yeah, I was factoring inflation, too.
Before November comes around, it'll probably be a 20-cent word.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Go ahead. Purient. Make him look it up. Look it up in the dictionary or get on your computer and hit your little dictionary.
Let's put it this way.
It means thinking with your nasty parts.
Appealing to the baser nature.
Sex.
If my baser nature is what needs service at that moment, that is what my slave is there to do. My slave's job is to serve me in any way necessary to make me happy. Okay? And my slave serves me and me alone. I'm the one who owns that collar. That is my slave.
Your property.
And the way I look at it, if you want one, go get your own.
Or negotiate directly with you.
My property is not public property. That is my property. We negotiated this relationship. It is our relationship. You want one? Go get your own.
But again, when you get into a dungeon space or a play party, and in the BDSM culture, it is fairly acceptable that if you see a sub...
They are there to service the dom.
Service. Not serve, but
right.
Service. And that means any dom has the right to go up to him and negotiate a scene.
And it is my understanding. Now, like I say, I only see this as an observer. I'm not part of BDSM as a culture. So I may, pardon me, folks, I may step on my own toes here. I may end up putting my foot in my mouth. And if I do, please call in and let me know.
I say we need to get Sinfest in here.
They're here.
I brought mustard.
In my understanding in BDSM culture, that there are some long-term relationships that are dominant and submissive by nature, but at these play parties, anyone wearing a collar or a significator of being a submissive is there to be played by the doms who are there.
Right. And I think that's where the big problem comes in, because when leather people come in, the BDSMers see the collar as... they're a sub to be played with, not somebody's property that you need to negotiate with the person who owns them.
In original leather culture...
I think that's where a lot of the issue comes
in
from.
In original leather culture, slaves were not permitted to walk up and address a master that they were not acquainted with.
Right.
Slaves who were collared or uncollared, they were not permitted to walk up and address a master that they were not acquainted with. By the same token... masters were not permitted to walk up and address a slave
that they
collared or uncollared without an introduction.
Right.
The reason for this at the time, and a lot of the reason for the roguish nature of the leather culture at the time, was mainstream society's abhorrence of anything homosexual. And let's face it, leather culture began as a strictly gay male culture.
Right.
The reason for these very strict protocols is that there was a line of...
protection, really.
It was for protection because there was a delineation of how you came to meet this person before there was actually an introduction. So that references, you could actually decline, you know, so-and-so would like to meet you, not at this time. You could decline an introduction while you did some investigating.
Yeah.
What kind of a person is this? Who do they know? You know, we could...
yeah. Are they reputable? Are they a player? Are they going to hurt me?
It was a social protocol with the safety of everyone concerned involved. And as long as everybody observed it uniformly, everything remained safe. Somebody step outside of that protocol, and instantly, we knew they didn't belong there.
Right.
And which is why now, when we see these violations of what we as leather people see to be these protocols, we still bristle.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way we were taught.
Right.
I would like to say that I don't bristle, but I do.
You do.
I'm learning
again,
to contain that.
To be honest, by the same token, I have seen your slave go off on people that come up to you and do the same thing, because he is protecting that which he is to
and
serve.
That's the way he's been taught. That's the contract that he negotiated, and I negotiated with him. And I'm learning more and more to accept the differences in protocols. And while I do my best to respect the other protocols, I'm hoping for some reciprocity here, that we can all learn to respect one another's cultural paradigm. Because if we don't respect our own, we'll lose it. And if we don't respect another's, we cannot expect to be respected.
Top of the hour, I got to step in.
Your turn.
Let me push this button here.
Well, good. Play a song for us, and we'll come back, and we'll be a little bit cheerier. How's that? Do your spiel, and then play.
Well, I'm gonna play. There's another
cheerful,
pride.
Thank you.
There's another pride thing I have to play.
Okay.
So I'll play that.
You have to play.
I should play.
Okay.
It's about preemptions.
Okay, cool. Then play that one, and then play one of mine. Then we'll come back after this station identification and a couple of cool songs. Yeah, play that. That's cool.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Let's see what this says.
Thank you.
Join KPFT on the night of the Pride Parade, Saturday, June 28th, for special programming all evening. We kick it off at 9 p.m. just after the parade starts with Queer Life, Queer Planet, a three-hour LGBT Pride Month special from Pacifica Radio. We will look at Pride in the U.S. and internationally with stories of queer people in Bolivia, Nigeria, Cuba, and closer to home. We include thoughtful discussions as well as queer music and social satire, and we look at Pride celebrations around the country. And at midnight, KPFT airs Remembering Stonewall, a Pacifica Radio Archives documentary exploring the Stonewall Rebellion, whose anniversary provides the inspiration for these international celebrations. And then stay tuned for After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude from 1 to 4 a.m. Again, KPFT's Pride Programming Marathon starts the night of the parade, Saturday, June 28th at 9 p.m. right here on KPFT Houston.
You can.
that was your annoying disco for the moment.
Thank you.
Kirby is like, who the hell is this? This sucks. I was like, okay, I chose those songs just for Kirby to piss him off.
Not enough cursing in German for me. Thank
oh,
you
I'm
very
sorry.
Much.
I'll bring Rammstein next time.
You don't have any Rammstein.
I'm going to steal your CDs when you're not looking.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
I dare you to play Mutter.
Yeah, yeah. I'll play it because we'll get away with it because censors here don't speak German. that was Danny Minogue, Kylie Minogue's younger sister. She's actually kinkier, but those were two of the tame songs. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She's like half her sister's age.
No wonder
she actually writes nasty music. So anyway, that was Danny Minogue off her new album Unleashed.
No wonder Australia's such a mess.
Well, that's Olivia Newton-John's fault, but you know. Yeah.
I think Keith Urban had something to do with that, too.
No, she's Australian.
And we have some people here joining us. That was what?
Chris, was that a dropped call?
I did bring in your chairs, Chris.
Good boy, you may live.
Chris, our little lights in here, line one, was
blipping.
Yeah,
I was trying to call, but I was producing the show.
So please call back. If you were calling, please call back. Chris
and
was.
You might win a prize.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we might even tell you what we're not wearing.
Great.
I'm not wearing my ladder this evening.
Great. Another difference.
I'm naked under these clothes.
4 weeks.
Yeah, I'm naked under my clothes. How about you?
Every day.
Every day.
All day. Every day, all day.
We have some
twice
people here
Sunday.
Joining us. Everybody.
Hello, I'm Michelle from Hell from the Serpentarium.
I'm Whitney, also known as. Whitney Jim.
From Serpentarium.
Yeah, from Serpentarium.
Welcome. Thank you for joining in.
We are one of the largest matriarchal leather families in Houston.
We love it.
Willkommen.
So tell us all about it. What are y'all doing?
Well, we have an event in July called Summer Sinfest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the Meridian.
Always fun.
It is going to be a blast.
When is that?
July 19th.
Starting
8 p.m. for VIP, 10 o'clock for general admission.
Excellent.
There's a lot of information on summersinfest.com.
Summersinfest.com. Go there.
In fact, if that guy calls back, we'll give him two tickets.
All right, call back. You're getting
call
two tickets.
Call back. Two tickets to Summer Sinfest.
Yeah, but how are we going to know if it was really him calling back or not?
Well, then that's the chance you're going to have to take. If somebody's really quick, they can just snag the tickets and...
And if we find out you're lying, you're going on the St. Andrew's Cross for 2 hours.
And 15 minutes.
15 minutes, yeah.
And it'll cost you...
Ooh, me first.
Start lying now.
Yeah, quick, Kirby, call on your cell phone.
Yeah, the porch calling. Damn. What's the number?
Somebody can give me their cell phone. I can go call. Yeah.
It's 713-526-5738.
Or 526 KPFT if you don't know numbers.
Well, you can win two tickets to this event. And
call.
Call. And add to the discussion... I like that you guys were talking about different cultures within the leather and S&M communities, and there's so many. It's semantics. It's S&M. It's BDSM. It's, you know.
And sexual.
Yeah. I was actually going to launch into an explanation of that. I've written several pieces on this, and BDSM, for those of you out there who aren't aware of what the moniker is, what the anagram stands for, it's bondage, discipline, sadism, masochism. It has been broken down into three shorter anagrams, BD for bondage and discipline, DS for dominance and submission, and
SM for standard model.
Yes.
More every time you open your mouth.
We do have a caller on line one.
Oh,
hey, cool.
Robert, who's our caller on line one?
Better not be you.
Oh, it's just Chris. They thought they were dialing the 976 number. Okay,
oh.
We got it.
It's Pizza Hut. I got
lost. I love your shirt. That's an adorable shirt.
Thank you.
Wait, I can't read it. Hold on. May I?
Oh,
okay.
Allow me. It says, I'm not like other girls.
I'm not like most girls.
Most girls.
It's a little... I would say Japanese-style caricature. It's a little brat, and she's got really cool hair, kind of like yours.
She's a little goth woman.
She's a little goth chick, and she
looks like
she's
wearing... What did you do
like
to the collar, Chris?
She's wearing big
boots
and a little PVC
dress. Yeah, she's got
some
Gene Simmons platform boots, some latex.
Robert, he's trying to talk.
She's on a little riding crop.
I figured the first rule for someone to win the tickets is they have to understand what type of event they're getting into.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, that's the fun part. Dive in.
No, it's consensual, okay. And
it is a huge fetish event.
I told him it was a BDSM event, and he goes, I'm not sure what that is. I go, if you don't know what it is, you're probably not going to enjoy it.
If you don't know what it is,
I just explained it.
Go.
Well, it's a huge fetish event.
You'll find out what it is.
It's not only BDSM. We have an art gallery.
Explain what it is.
We've got an art gallery. It's a fetish event.
Do you have vendors?
We have 23 vendors.
Cool.
From clothing,
jewelry,
toys,
perfumes, candles.
Did you guys say, oh my goodness,
class? Everything available. We're going to have vendors in every single room. You have an opportunity to have a portrait done when you first come in, because we'll have a portrait photographer right there at the door.
Oh, incredible. Okay.
We do a fundraiser for Legacy, mm-hmm. where the raffle is built up from donations from all of our vendors. God bless them, one and all. They each donate two items to this event, and we do one ticket takes everything raffles. So you could spend as little as $1, and you could win a minimum of 23 items. And that's not including perks that have been donated by local people as well.
Last year we had 8 vendors, and the total for the raffle was over $800.
Excellent.
This year we have 23 vendors.
Wow.
And most of them are making something, quote unquote, special for Summer Sinfest.
Ooh.
So they do all custom work. And some of them even scare me, because they're like, this is, you know, I've been working on this, and it's going to be so great.
Oh, wait, scare you. Wait, what?
Yeah. when you get some...
That's the door you don't want to open.
I'm looking at this woman, and I'm like, okay, what scares this woman? Not much. I mean, maybe... I don't even think waterboarding would scare you.
No.
That's a turn on, okay?
So. No, Republicans?
Oh.
That's me. I'm the one who's afraid of them.
You're afraid of Republicans?
I'm not afraid of anybody.
I'm not afraid of Republicans. Just the log cabin Republicans scare me, that's all.
No, they just have a different way of life.
A gay Republican, that should be an oxymoron.
Thank you.
Well, it's really Uncle Tom, but we're not going to go there. Let's pick a whole new subject, okay?
Let's get back to leather
and BDSM and having fun.
Burlesque troops coming in from Dallas. We have a S&M performance troupe. Now, performance is different than some play that you might see other places.
You're talking more of an erotic
fantasy stage show. It's a stage show from San Antonio called Temple of Flesh.
Oh, yeah, they are good.
We've got the Cadaver Cabaret girls coming in all their glory.
The Red Devil Review.
What's the Red Devil Review? I've never heard of them.
They're a little burlesque troupe. And
up from in the Dallas area. And we have two very different kind of drag performers.
Yes, very, very different.
We have Miss Jennifer Long, who's a fetish diva up in Dallas.
I was going to say, you're going to have a dominatrix, and then you're going to have like a glamour drag. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Totally. We have
Miss Gia.
She used to be.
Yeah,
she's
volunteer
for us.
What, Notentia?
Well,
Notentia,
no. It was.
We love you, Tentia.
Yes, we do.
She volunteered to perform. She doesn't know us, but she heard that it was for Legacy, and that.
That's incredible.
You know, and that's what.
All of the performers are volunteers. Nobody gets paid.
Nobody's getting paid.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I'm not sitting close enough. Everybody who performs does this to volunteer. These are our friends. These are people who've heard about what we're doing. They know where our goals are. In our family, we support a theory called unity and diversity, going back to y'all's topic. We celebrate everybody for what they like, no matter what it is. We're not real picky.
You're not going to discriminate.
But we are, though. I mean,
we're picky about who
you're not going to discriminate because somebody likes flogging, but somebody else doesn't like flogging. Or leather protocol versus BDSM protocol.
It's all respected with you. Because we can learn from them.
Mm-hmm. Right. You respect everybody's limits and you learn from them.
Begging your pardon, but isn't that what it's supposed to be? Isn't that
exactly.
what it started
dream.
Out to be? To, like,
well, that is
teach each
ideal.
Other the differences and to respect each other's differences, but to learn from each other at the same time?
Right.
Yes. And we were misfits.
In doing this, though, the one focus that, I mean, I think everybody is willing to learn about something else, but the importance is that we cling closely and tightly and strongly and vehemently to our own paradigm.
We don't have to lose who we are to learn what other people know. And I think that what's happening in this
knowledge
almost
is power,
forced
people.
Homogenization of different cultures is that each culture's paradigm is getting watered down in the homogenization process.
You see that happening?
Well, I'm very fortunate. I was raised in both communities. Mm-hmm. I was raised in the I came into the community in the pansexual community. Within less than 2 years, became very active in WIPS. I love you, ladies.
Yeah, so we love Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, yes.
Eva.
I spent my first year as a
Janae,
bottom.
We love you.
Oh, yes, we heard you on the phone earlier, by the way.
Well, those ladies were the first femdoms who decided to mentor me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't getting that from the pansexual. I was learning all my toys from the male dominants. I'm very adept at every tool I touch. But I wasn't getting the mental connection and the mindset of a femdom. They couldn't teach it
to
me.
You were getting the female perspective of it.
And then these ladies came into my life, and I got introduced to leather in a way that I was comfortable with. And
oh,
I got
you
introduced.
Couldn't do much better than Miss Elizabeth and Miss Eva.
I'm very blessed. Everyone who's ever... I've been in 10 years, and everyone who's mentored me has been the best of the best.
Okay,
I
want to back up a second. You said that you made the comment that y'all were considered misfits. How? What do you mean by you were misfits?
And because we didn't fit in anywhere. Specifically.
I'm going to get my floggers out of the car if you don't.
I'm sorry.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
I'll send the boy home for my single tail.
Yes, please. Anyway, I'm sorry. You were saying.
Because we, you know, we would watch a scene and there would be that chatter of, oh my God, I can't believe they were doing that. And we're like, oh my God, I wonder if they could teach me that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
We show up in and people get very,
that's just
very
not my thing, but man, they look like they're having fun. And we didn't fit cookie cutter. We weren't the... Well, expect, when I came to Houston, I came from Dallas, which had a very, very large HPEP group.
Yeah, PEP group. Mm-hmm.
So I figured when I came
here... I know
down
we always
here,
say HPEP, but People in Power Society. Houston People in Power, that's the HPEP, that's the local...
Exchanging Power.
Yeah,
People Exchanging Power. I'm sorry, that's the local chapter.
And when I moved down here... There were 16 people in HPEP, and, uh-huh. There was no community, so to speak.
Right.
And we would always laugh about, yeah, we want that little couple that's been playing for 20 years in A-Leaf to come out and show us what to do. Well, you know, here it is 15 years later, and all the little couples from A-Leaf come out, and the education that used to be, there used to always be once a year, at least, a first aid and a CPR. They can't get people to take a CPR course anymore.
No, I want to give Bear credit on that. He did really
started
well on improving
Bear,
that.
And Bear has also brought the dungeon monitoring class.
Yeah, and Bear is doing that within L.A. as well. LA Houston, he's doing the dungeon monitoring class. We're doing
as well as the CPR
course. In a week or two.
Yes.
It's a week or, in a week or two,
that's
I think,
the
and
difference
with the CPR class.
Between the leather community... But, and the BDSM community.
Well, the leather community, I mean, NLA Houston's mission statement is education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the big thing with National Leather Association, is that we want you to play and explore your limits, but do it safely and sanely. Here's how to play safely.
Yep.
Here's where you're going to cause damage. Here's how to provide aftercare. It's all about the education of it.
And above and beyond... the play education, including the safety. And I mean, our motto is safe, sane, and consensual. And we drum that message. And it's not just the education on safe, sane, and consensual play. It's also education on honoring your cultural paradigm.
If I may, sir, my group, Houston Leather Boys, we've also had members of NLA Houston do talks. We have a thing called Babble that we do once a month. Mm-hmm. It's it's basically a get together, like a rap session for subversives, as my master likes to call it.
Tell them what Babble stands for.
Boys and Boys, BOYs and BOIs, Blending Life Experience.
BABBLE.
Yeah.
No DOMs allowed.
Absolutely.
The DOMs
are allowed when there's a presentation.
When there's a presentation.
But when the presentation's over with, get out. It's boy time.
Yeah. And NLA Houston has done some very, very interesting talks, some very interesting classes on, for example, Robert Tichy has done one on... fetish play.
Yeah, we cover blood sports, wax, needle play.
Sir Robert Helms, fisting. The president of NLA Houston, graced us with a discussion on play protocols.
And scene negotiation.
Scene negotiation and play protocols. Master Buzz, my master, has also blessed us with discussions on...
history, protocol.
The differences in household protocols. Each house has different protocols. You may have one blanket protocol in public, but each household has their own private protocols that they observe in-house. And we all learned a great deal from that. And as speaking of personal experience as a slave, I have learned so much from these discussions from NLA and other members of the community and the people who have actually shown some interest in educating us and educating themselves. It's just it's a wonderful it's a wonderful thing to see people sharing their experiences and feeding off of our experiences that we're having. And most of us, I've been in the leather life probably, I don't know, what, four or five years? I mean, formally. But I feel like I'm an old, I'm an old soul at it, because a lot of the stuff that I've learned from Master Buzz, it just comes naturally to me, and I'm passing that on to other boys, other slaves, as much as I can, and I feel like that's my responsibility to do that.
It is.
It is. See, so we now there's a point we're all in agreement about.
Yeah, if you can't teach another boy something, you know, and it's like you said, it's totally different in every household, but there are those basics that that should just follow. And it's, I think it's not so much doing things or this way is this way, it's the feel of the household. Now, if you know, once you hit that door,
there are certain, you know, public protocols, yes, that need to be observed when you are in public. A lot of people call it high protocol or high leather.
And for example,
I can boil that down to one phrase.
Do it.
Respect begets respect.
Absolutely.
Yep. Oh God, isn't that a Pet Shop Boys song?
If you want to be, if you want to be respected, if you want a yes answer from somebody when you ask, would you like to play with me, respecting who that person is and finding out if it is appropriate to ask that person and if you need somebody else's permission beforehand, respecting that person enough to not just walk up and say, you, me, play now. That's just disrespectful in any public scenario. Respect begets respect.
There was...
And if you don't know, err on the higher protocol. If you don't know the protocol, that's what we're all here for. Learn. Ask the question.
Your experience
no
will
such
be...
thing as a stupid question. Ask the question, learn. Educate yourself so you don't ostracize yourself.
Michelle is a posting
or get yourself
thing.
In a lot of trouble.
And she can post like... you know, a gazillion Yahoo groups like in a day. And one of the, we were about to have a party, and
that's
one of the things that she
digest.
Put out was etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it wasn't aimed at anybody. It wasn't like, okay, you know,
so-and-so did this, so-and-so and that was stupid.
It was just
know.
A basic, hey, let's do
yeah,
a little refresher on etiquette, and, you know, don't pick up anybody else's toys, human or otherwise, and just right. basic stuff that... We're saying is basic, but a lot of people don't know.
A lot of people don't know, but
they got.
But again, a lot of backlash from just doing that.
But a lot of people, they're afraid to ask, or you're stepping on their toes because they see something they've done that is not within that protocol. So they can say, "Oh yeah, well I've done this."
Or they feel somehow that they are so important that these rules don't apply to them.
No. My favorite thing that they complain about in our house, we have a safe word. In our house, we have a safe word. It's Mayday. You never get confused on Mayday. Mayday means stop. Red can mean, oh, look at your butt. It's nice and red. Or
red
all
can mean
those
grab
things.
The Crisco in a glove.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
it
know,
can mean
it
anything.
Can mean anything. And so we told people, because we had so many new people who had never played and were inexperienced, that if you don't already have a protocol, this is what we use
the
house.
The safe word is Mayday.
You're
plus
welcome
it's
to
international,
use whatever you
so
want.
They don't even have to speak frickin' English.
You know, we told
right.
them they were welcome to do whatever they wanted, but just in case you wanted to know how to get a DM over there immediately in our house, you call Mayday and we're in that room. Oh, I took the most brutal reaming from these people. They were just like, you can't tell me my protocol. I was like, look, you're coming to my family's house. I am going to tell you the household protocol.
This is
accept
the household it. Protocol if you're coming
if
in this
you
house.
If you don't own the dungeon, you follow the dungeon's rules.
Absolutely. Well,
and this gave the new people, you know, that they don't even know what's a safe word. Why do I need a safe word?
And you mean somebody might do something to me I don't like? You know?
And they we have been out and we have seen people who are supposedly leather come up to a slave and say, "That's a pretty necklace. Does it mean something?"
Yeah. But it
and I mean, it I like happens the a lot I more than you think.
I like the doms that when
that wear what? A harness and
No, we were talking about
make
safe
up your
words.
Mind.
We were talking about
here.
Safe words. Let's stay on track here. We were talking about safe words.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the ones who, the doms who say, "I don't need safe words. I'm not done with you yet." I love those. I eat those for breakfast. They're crunchy.
Oh, yeah. They're crunchy and they taste good with ketchup.
One of the best stories that was ever told to me about safe words, and it was during a class that the colonel gave, and his contact popped out of his eye. Well, if you can't see, you can't hit anybody, okay? Yeah. And he had to call the scene because, of course, the contact popped out, and slaves up there like blindfolded and tied up, going,
"Oh, there goes the focus."
Wait a minute. The dom is go. The scene's over? What happened?
I'm just barely getting into my headspace, and what?
What? Wait, I heard the
ooh,
safe
this is
word.
Kinky.
I heard the safe word, and wait, it didn't come out of me, and why is my dominant calling a safe word? Because we're clumsy. And, you know, we could
thank
trip
you
over,
for saying that. I could have gotten in so much trouble for that.
We could have tripped over a chair. We could be having a cramp. We could be having a heart attack. We could...
Could have lost a contact.
Wrapped her flog around someone's head, maybe?
Or
it comes back and pops
you
in
the
eye.
That one was
face.
Warned and didn't get out of the way.
But they had never heard of a dominant calling a safe word.
Okay.
Well, what do you mean that's for the dominant, too?
Okay, wait, now back up just a second for people who don't know what a safe word is. Let's explain what a safe word is now.
A safe word stops any and all activity that is happening at that moment.
Okay, let's start at the very beginning here. For those of you who
Adam
have not done
and
this,
Eve had
No, we had a caller who didn't know what kind of an event this was, and we're not really giving complete information here.
Okay.
So let's talk about what these play scenes are. Yes, we do things that are not in the standard playbook. We like to hit each other. Scratch each other,
jump
burn
each
other each with
other.
Fire. We like to tickle each other. But the reason you have a safe word is because all of these activities are begun lightly, like rubbing somebody's skin very gently and ending up scrubbing it with Brillo pads. That's abrasion.
Yeah, buddy.
You get a safe word before the scene begins between you and the person who is playing you. You choose a word that you can remember to say when the play becomes more extreme than you feel you need to or can take. And when you say that safe word, it's over. That way, you get to feel all of those sensations.
And
it's very, very erotic. When it stops being erotic, when you stop enjoying it and good pain becomes bad pain, call your safe word before it gets bad enough that you regret doing it.
And ow is not a safe word.
There's no, ouch is not a safe word.
There's a lot
this
of
way,
that
it, in using safe words...
Well, yeah, ouch is a keep going.
In choosing, using, and respecting safe words, everybody plays safely, and you get to play again. Fail to honor a safe word and
you'll
don't ever plan on playing with that person again or with anybody within earshot.
Oh, because we do talk.
Oh, yes, we do.
Everybody
okay.
in this town.
And
dangerous people get labeled so very quickly.
If you're into all the kink, call 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, and you can get 2 tickets to the event. Now that you know it's this kinky, fun thing...
And we haven't even told you everything. I mean, we've got vendors. Yes, we've got stage performances. We have a live band. We have the hottest rockabilly band in Houston.
The Dolly Rockers.
Playing the last hour. We have 2
sweet.
DJs.
We figured that last hour, everybody's been drinking. Everybody's been, playing. Everybody just wants to chill. So give them a band. and
so
have
it's
fun.
Like a circus for big people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yay. A lot like that. And it has three.
Except the clowns hit back.
We have clowns. It's really, and next year's theme is a circus. It's Sinalicious Circus.
I won't be going to that one. Clowns. I won't be going to that one.
He
clowns
has a clown
terrify
phobia.
Me.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I can't even get him to watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
When drag queens. Yeah. Drag queens frighten me because they look like clowns.
Well, it depends on who's painting.
I'm talking the really bad ones, not the good ones, the ones who actually look like women. I'm talking
That's
about
like
the
all
bad
of
ones.
Our friends.
You know, the ones who hang out in Cousins.
Okay, I thought you were just talking about camp drag. You know,
Did
she have the glamour drag and then he had like the camp?
No, I love gingivitis.
You said her, I did. But you also better remember that gingivitis is also a Leatherman. Will be.
I know.
Oh yes. And if he asks permission to paddle you for that last comment, he's going to get it.
Ginger, if you need Buzz's phone number, call me and get permission. I'll give you Buzz's phone number so you can beat Slave
Kirby. Well, if he calls real fast, he can also get these tickets.
He's probably out of fundraiser.
Oh,
right
I think
now,
there's a red light. No.
Oh, no. No.
Now, red is not a safe word, remember? Mayday, mayday.
But we all changed. Mayday, mayday.
I thought ouch wasn't a safe word.
Ouch isn't a safe word either.
Consistency, soft. Sir. Consistency, please.
No, we're talking mayday is the safe word for tonight.
Well, right. And then, okay, another feature of SimFest we really want to talk about because it's brand new for this year. We've never done it before. We have an art gallery. And we've got someone in there doing living art who will be doing body painting on site. ABC Body Art. Vanetta is amazing. I love this woman. I did a body show for her last year.
I've seen some of her work. It's fabulous.
Yeah, she's incredible. And then we have the woman who does the amazing corsetry work. Stitch Witch has three custom painted mannequins that were done by local tattoo shops
mm-hmm.
that she's going to send fully dressed. We have a Grammy and gold record winning artist, my father, Bill Narum. Yay, Dad.
Bye,
Happy
Dad.
Father's Day. Get that out of the way. And then a bunch of other people. There's like 10 artists coming in. Photography. It's
I even made
incredible.
Art.
And then there's the dungeon.
You made art?
I made she art. Made
are we talking popsicle sticks and yarn? You
no,
didn't
no, even
on?
Better. No,
it's even
you
better.
You take restaurant napkins, you know those cheap, really rough
paper
napkins
yeah.
that come in
the
like...
The John Wayne kind.
Okay. It cost me like... $4.07 for the big pack at Sam's and water.
Uh-huh.
And you bring that down back down to pulp and then you shape it. Wait till you see my penis.
I'm afraid to ask if she straps it on because it might just shatter.
It's chubby.
It's chubby?
Yeah, and
chubby
she said it had.
Oh, you got a chubby. That's
chubby
so cool.
With big nose.
But yeah, I even
it's
put art
chubby.
In. And if
we have a red light.
We got a red light.
Chris. It's a fight. Chris, hurry.
No, we got to see if they want the tickets.
It's only one.
They've won the tickets.
Look at poor Chris. He's like, I'm so
Chris
bored.
Is running to the phone.
Like, Chris runs.
He's hungry.
No, Chris looks tired. He's had a long day, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
A long, hard day.
Uh-huh.
I like how she
I thought those were the good kind.
Just
they
stay,
are.
Stand the line. It's okay.
I like how she said that.
I turned down those headphones in here so I can't hear a damn word.
I know.
That's why we're getting away with murder without you listening.
Yeah, we've already said 9 FCC words.
Oh, no.
No, we haven't. I'm joking.
We've been good.
We can't say those words.
But they were in German, so nobody understood
them. And an Israeli thumbs up to you, too.
Oh, thank you, President Bush.
So who's our caller?
Chris has still got him on the...
Do you know that in Israel, this... means this?
Yeah, I did know that.
And President Bush is sitting there
speaking
to the entire
Israeli Congress.
Okay, no, I don't
give
him
the thumbs up.
Okay, seriously, you're talking about a man who sent a female.
Well, we'll just leave them up here. They can come and get them. Or
get their name. We'll put them in an envelope.
Okay. Okay, I'll get all that info.
Yeah. If they want, they can come by the radio station, pick up the tickets, give us your name, full name, make sure your driver's license to prove it's you to get the tickets, or if you want us to mail them, give us your mailing address.
Okay.
Yeah,
Chris, I told him that, and he didn't listen to me either, so.
Told him what?
That it wasn't the parliament that he was addressing.
Well, we also have, on the stage show, I've written a three-act play. I'm very multi-talented. I'm a freaking genius, but nobody knows.
Well, as long as you do, that's what
I'm
counts.
Sorry, who is she?
And as long as I have belief...
That's my lieutenant.
Who the hell are you and who let you in my sound studio?
If you know, if I have the belief in myself, I can do anything.
You know, you're in good company because you're
such a blessing.
Between his ego, your ego, and my ego, we got it covered, baby.
No, well, this room is filled with ego.
Yeah, mostly his, but yeah.
But I've written a 3-act play that encompasses the decades of rock and roll, because the theme of this year's is Rock and Roll Peep Show.
Get her father to write the soundtrack. Get her to do it.
No, he does the art.
He does the art.
Oh, the art.
He does the art.
Then I'll write the music.
Oh, that would be hot.
Even do my poster art.
I've got 16 albums. Let's go. I'll write the music.
We could do that. We need.
But it's all done right now.
The 50s, 60s, and 70s. Yeah, we've got like 6 weeks to there, man.
We can talk about how to write them.
Let's do something.
So we actually have two writers here.
We have all kinds of stuff going on. But
actually, three. Robert's a writer, too.
And I'm all ready for next year because we're doing clowns. We really are.
Yeah,
she was saying
it was going to be, what do you call it?
Cinnalicious Circus next year.
Okay, and this year, what's the theme?
Rock and roll peep show.
Because we have a peep window. They wouldn't let us put in a glory hole. But we put in a peep window. They wouldn't. You guys are laughing like I didn't ask.
No, we're laughing because you did ask and they turned you down. Why'd they turn you down?
Because we believe you would.
Because they know us.
I just thought that would be neat. Remember when you were a kid and they had the big toy with all the holes in it? And it looked like a big piece of Swiss cheese to climb on?
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah, we called it the cheese.
Yeah. And
I had the best house of trip. Oh,
I
was 16 at the time. That was years ago.
I wanted to put a big cheese in there where we could put people in there and people could just reach in and
it didn't work out cool.
See,
so well.
We're going to save that for a more secluded party. So
Oh no, the nomads during the nomads run, they had what do you call it? The Vaginus Gigantus.
Violate
the Vaginus, and they had a mock. The genus.
I paid somebody to go in there for me.
With
it was didn't even venture
replete.
In the imaginary
replete.
One.
I came out of one. I'm not going back in.
Replete with carpet.
On my way out.
Replete with carpet on the outside of it.
Oh,
and it when you put your
on
hand
the other
in
side
there,
a bag
to get
filled
the toy,
with J-lube.
A bag filled with J-lube with all these toys floating in the J-lube.
And Cindy, bless her, she had little tiny crabs on the outside.
Oh,
yeah, plastic crabs.
That's so tacky.
It was.
I thought when you started to describe it, you were going to, like at the Science Center, how they have the big ear that you can go all the way through it.
No.
I thought you were
going to say, boy, talk about a bunch of
Let me put it
men.
This way. Let me tell you. You had to go all the way up to the elbow just to find anything in all that J-lube. And when they announced the game and they unveiled the piece that was the game, the big giant vagina.
All the gay men went, oh, hell no.
Nobody wanted to play. The first one that went up to play was Miss Eva.
She'll put her arm up into the elbow.
Well, she's so tiny, she almost went head first.
I went in there and I pulled out a little pig.
Oh, yeah, okay. And then you collared him.
I am not a pig. I'm a monkey. Thank you very much.
Okay, bad monkey.
There is a difference.
In any group, in fact, I wrote the Nomads. Everybody thinks that when they get email, it's Michelle because I like my computer only so much. She likes it a whole lot better. But I wrote every group here in Houston. I tried to get every group to. We have what is called a community lounge.
Mm-hmm.
We will give you two badges, community badges, for your representative.
Which is your entrance to the event.
Which is your entrance to the event. We're asking if any community leaders want to come in and, you know, bring your swag, bring your brochures. It's how to meet new people.
Right. How to get your message out there.
Because there's so many that are walking around lost, and they don't mind coming to a venue like the Meridian because they just wouldn't walk into the Ripcord. They wouldn't walk in, you know,
I wouldn't
BRB.
Walk into the
they wouldn't walk
but again, but again, a lot of the pansexual community doesn't even know where to go. They would say, Ripcord, it's a gay bar. What would I go there for?
I'm just saying if I
was one of those people, I wouldn't, you know.
No, you'd be
having been an outsider in the community. I wouldn't walk into the Ripcord not knowing what kind of establishment it was. I would probably walk in there, realize what kind of establishment it was, and then never go back because it would be a little intimidating, not having any education on or any idea of what kind of. You know, things go on there.
Right.
Yes.
Well, you know. And even as an active community member, I went to an NL meeting while I was there, and I was very grateful that I had, because I was going to approach y'all about something I was working on with HPEP, trying to do some bridging work like we were discussing mm-hmm. at the beginning of this.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had warned me. They said, okay, you're normally very femme and very flaky looking. To go to the ripcord, I want your bun up. I want your leather corset on. I want your white press shirt and your leather skirt and your boots. And I was like, I don't want to wear the uniform. The girl uniform's not comfortable. You know, you guys get the nice vest. I have to wear cinchy things. And I went and
but it looks so purdy.
It does look purdy. And the lesbians love me in it. It's crazy. They don't like me in my street clothes, but the minute I put that on, they're like, oh, you're cute. And I'm like, oh, y'all are too easy. That is so, you know. But
you can wear a vest.
I know, but...
And if you don't have one, I know where you can get one. Blackhawk Leather
totally is supporting us.
The premier in custom leather work. They will measure you and make one for you.
Yeah, I need
Daddy Bob is great.
Yes. We were there this week. He was good to us.
We were there on Friday. And you will see his ad.
Full-page ad.
We do a whole program.
Uh-huh. Printed program.
You know,
program.
Just kind of like high school.
Right.
the high school play.
Well, no, I mean, Louis Weekend is a program.
Yeah, you have to anymore because so much goes on, and we try to jam-pack so much into everything. You take this stuff home.
But yeah, it's something to take home. You can read through it. You can go to the websites for the different organizations, learn more, go to the different shops that were represented there, that kind of thing.
That's last year.
Yeah.
But one of the things I do want to tell people about our event is we have an amazing dungeon this year. It's sponsored by three different organizations, vendors, all kinds of stuff. We have Twisted Interiors from Houston that you've seen at many events. Beautiful custom leather work, cages. We got a monkey cage. The whole nine.
It's a real...
And it's a real monkey cage. I'm not jacking with you.
From
can I wear my tail?
Facility.
Mm-hmm. Can I wear my tail?
You can wear your tail. We like everybody to come how they want to come.
He's like one of the only slaves or subs that I know that he doesn't do puppy play, but he loves monkey play.
Hey, I've got a tiger. Totally understand.
This is monkey cage is really from a monkey research facility. It's
can I throw you know what on people?
Yeah,
if you want to throw poo.
No.
we can give you some Tootsie Rolls to make it look like it.
Just get them really warm and let me squish them first.
I'm totally down to supply those. I can find you.
Okay, just sweet. Just get some, you know, Betty Crocker brownie mix and just don't bake it. Just have the raw dough.
Sweet.
But we are so gross.
Monkey with a stomach problem.
Okay. It's okay.
You got the monkey.
I'm back on there.
You got the monkey cage.
We got all this always put him down stuff. In the sunny beaches because, okay.
Now, wait. Is the monkey
wait,
cage.
Wait, let me finish the dungeon before we
the monkey cage going to be actually for play?
Yes.
Space?
Yes. All the dungeon play is included in your ticket price.
Well, no, ooh. I mean, is it going to be play space or is it like an auction item or something?
No, it's actual dungeon equipment.
Ooh, is that electrified? Is it electrified?
It's all metal. We could put something near there to
this
zap
this thing
with.
Is when he we went to pick up other equipment at his storage spot and I went, what's that? This is it's a monkey cage. I went, I know, where did you get that? He said research facility, and it was a friend of a friend of a friend. I'm like, okay, one of those deals. This thing is solid, it's heavy,
it's so heavy.
We chain it to a pole because it does have wheels because they don't, you know, they don't let the primates out. The cages just shoot them through it.
Right.
And it has the big heavy trap door. You guys will have fun in
the
cage.
It's a lot
cage.
Of fun. We have him sponsoring
you
equipment.
You won't get him out of the cage.
No, probably not. Especially if it's electrified. I'll be moving in.
Well, then we have... In addition to that, we have equipment by Jazz the Mad Welder out of Dallas who is... has a local partnering up with Leather Forever. Joe mm-hmm. over there came with him last year, and that was wonderful. And then, to top that off, the other third of it is dedicated solely to bondage, sponsored by the Houston Bondage SIG. Gary is graciously sending us a crew to tie volunteers up. If somebody wants to experience bondage, we've got that.
Rope.
Oh, my goodness. These boys are cute. And then,
we have a theme song for everything.
I know, I'm a little
I tie him up and take him out.
Oh, well, you told me about doing karaoke and him tipping with. I was like, oh, my goodness.
I was wearing rope and a straight bar. People were afraid of me.
Rope gauntlets and a full rope upper body harness.
They got to understand. This is almost like sitting in our living room, and yeah, you guys get to be privy because conversations like this happen all the time if you just hang around. It's not always,
Let's define the most boring topic on the planet. No, sometimes you actually get to hear real conversations
between
real people.
Okay, the most boring topic on the planet. Britney Spears.
Ugh, okay, no.
Oh, that horse has been whipped already.
Hey, the lights are red again.
That pie is baked.
Yay, I didn't do it.
Cool, bottle openers.
I didn't do it.
Okay, in the first 100 VIP.
We forgot about... We have one more thing in the dungeon. Oh. And we cannot forget Miss Kayla from San Antonio and Austin. This is a wonderful educator that's new, upcoming pro-dom, is going to actually be set up in a play-for-free situation for anyone who wants to be topped by this gorgeous Nubian dread-headed, fabulous chick.
I almost said drag queen.
I get them all confused in my head. Everybody's blurring now. But she
I
is
have
not
the same problem.
Are we having a Prozac moment?
Okay, I want to get Clayton in here. Clayton, these are really cool, and they're purple.
Purple and black are family colors.
Oh,
so you see
we've got to take one to Miss Anastasia then.
Miss Anastasia.
Oh, yeah, she'll get one. Hey, Anastasia, we love your huge tracts of land, and we want to rest our head on those pillows.
That came directly from my boy who's in the corner nodding, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am.
I'm a gay man, and I like her breasts, too.
She has the most amazing boobs on the planet.
I'm jealous.
So far out there. I even have some, and I'm jealous.
And since Houston has put that smoking ban on all everybody...
Mm-hmm. Boo, hiss.
The Meridian does have a smoking area, and it's, like, downstairs outside. And normally, it's like the ghetto part of the bar.
But we're swagging it up.
We are making it sunny beaches. And we offered for volunteers to come and dance in the cage in the sunny beaches. Because we're making it a whole like a beach.
Like grass skirts and do that.
Yeah.
Well, just all kinds of stuff. We've got a 6-foot inflatable
TV. I will never,
TV.
Ever dance in a grass skirt again.
Again. I knew there was an again there.
I did that during Lou and fell out in the first... 30 seconds of the
song.
Well,
we had put it out to the community, and it's still out there.
And 9 people in the front row fainted.
If you can't afford...
They didn't faint. I got hit in the head with some jewelry.
If you can't afford to come to this event, we will hire you to be a volunteer.
To volunteer.
We need setup people.
The
we
VIP tickets
people.
Are $20. The GA is $15. But if you can't afford to spend that $20, because everybody's in a different financial... Volunteer. Go to SummerSinFest.com, fill out the volunteer form. We'll find you something to do.
Excellent.
The tickets are now available at Smoochie's, right there on the feeder road of I-10 at the Montrose Studemont, better
right
part of town exit.
Studemont Movie House.
Yeah, it's right next to a whack shack. It's not hard to find.
It's over near, like, what, Party Boy?
Yeah. Arnie's.
Yeah, but people at Smoochie's are great. They are actually sponsoring cock rings and anal beads for the swag bags.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, jewelry.
Yeah. So they're great, yeah. Accessories, boys. Brought you accessories.
And the first 100 during the VIP hours that come up to our little redemption center and show the ticket, they get this swag bag that...
is packed.
I've been working on for 9 months.
Excellent.
And it's just different stuff that you may or may not know about Houston. Events coming up. So if you have an event coming up and you want your flyer and our swag bag,
contact
get a hold
us.
Of us. It's a community effort. And
of the community, for the community, by the community. So show up, damn it.
And there's so much
it's
going to
be so much
on.
Fun.
I've told people that if
so
you don't have fun at this event, it just means
fault.
We'll give you your money back.
It's your own fault.
Yeah, that's what I said. Just said you're boring. Go home.
I would rather give them their money back and tell them, you know, thanks for trying.
It'll be worth going if you just want to go and be a looky-loo. Trust me, there will be eye candy.
Oh, one of the things we did that you guys will appreciate, in the dungeon we have it divided with a security wall so that the people
the
who are looky-loos have a viewing gallery. The only people allowed within the play space.
A viewing gallery.
The only people.
We also have a peep window. So.
Well, just to make sure that the players are kept safe. The only people allowed in the play environment are the participants. And if you're a family member who's not participating in the scene, we have select seating for you within that secured space. There will be no photography allowed in that area.
Thank you.
The only photography allowed at this event were by professionals in the blue room who have a press pass on. If you see someone taking a picture without a press pass, come find me. I love to slap them.
That includes taking pictures with your cell phone.
Yes.
Anything.
In fact...
if your penis can photograph, I don't want to see it out either.
No hidden cameras in the foreskin.
I was going to say something, but now I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
What I'm going to say is, hold on, because we're getting up on Chris's...
Yeah, we got to do the time thing.
I want to just say, on that note, Summer Sin Fest Rock and Roll Peep Show. It's Saturday, July 19th, July 19th, July 19th, at the Meridian. The Meridian is at 1503 Chartres.
Chartres.
Chartres. Chartres.
Pretend you're in New Orleans.
Chartres. Pretend I'm in New Orleans, Jones Street.
Which is 12 steps after Bourbon Street.
Yeah. There you
or,
go.
Or would that be Canal Street?
I don't know, but I really love your Gucci shoes.
And that Versace belt?
Yeah, that Versace belt is fabulous.
I'm sorry, but the Gucci shoes
I'm sorry, but they're Adidas, okay?
Look like the Gucci shoes. You have on dirty shoes?
No.
I figured out. It's the Versace. I got it.
Well, no, one of my favorite stories, when I was working a trade show, I had this one woman, I was working with this Hispanic girl. She's just fantastic. She was wearing a Gucci shirt, mm-hmm. a Gucci blouse, and it had a Chanel blouse, and it had the double C's on it.
Right.
This one woman walked up and says, "I just love that Chanel shirt." And, I mean, this woman's like way double wide, okay, triple wide. And she's like, "I just love that Chanel shirt." And Claudia, trying to be very nice, she goes, "Chanel." And she goes,
Excuse me,
if this is not Spanish, okay, speak English. It's Chanel.
Oh, my goodness.
And Claudia goes, "One N, French, Chanel. Two N's, Channel." And this woman stormed off, comes back with her friends to prove that it was the word Channel and not Chanel. And her friends just laughed and said, "We're sorry, she's drunk." You know? That's always
drunk. First day out from under the rock.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, is Chris back yet?
Yeah, Chris is back.
He's been there.
You got your headphones on now? Turned on? Are you even listening? What the?
No, he's not listening.
Do you still love us?
I was just getting ready to yell the safe word.
And what is the safe word?
Yeah, Mayday.
See, he listened.
Hold on. Before we do that.
That was Grace Jones. I loved her. And
Jimmy, hold on. Jimmy has something.
Jimmy's got something.
I realize that I have not seen you here at the station since December.
Well, that's your fault, baby.
Because in January, I went to Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
And then...
He goes to Hawaii. I won't even say what he was doing.
Are you crying in your beer or
something
what?
Something happened in February and March.
Well,
February,
I think it was Louis weekend, and I'm on the board of HCC, okay. So I couldn't be here.
And then March was...
No, March we were here.
No, you were sick.
No.
April you were sick.
Last month I was sick.
Then I was out.
You were out.
For some reason.
I think you were out.
Mother's Day. It was Mother's Day. I was at the...
And that's May.
You were at...
PWA camp.
You were at the camp.
That was May. All right, whatever.
See, because I brought
long
back...
Hey, long story short, Jimmy.
I brought back something from Hawaii for you.
Ooh, what's
his
name?
Not a rock.
A grass skirt.
They have lots of cookies and candies and stuff, but there's something new on the market that I'd never seen before because... For many years, I went to Hawaii every year.
Uh-huh.
And I saw this box, and they happen to have a little individual size, which is the one I bought for you, which is fine since it's, you know, January. But I looked at the box, I saw the title, and I immediately thought of you.
Oh, you scare me sometimes, Jimmy.
What is
it? It's a little cookie.
Oh, oh no.
Colon, the taste.
I'm
going to
pronounce this Colin, not Colin. It's Colin, the taste of Hawaii. It's a Kona coffee biscuit. And you know I love Kona coffee. I am a coffee whore. Give that back.
But
it
are
is
you
two L,
it
so
is
not
two L.
Colon.
It is two. Yeah, Channel Chanel. Colin Colon. Okay. Here we go again.
But you did get it. But Jimmy gave you a colon biscuit.
Get the colon cookie.
He gave me a Kona colon cookie.
And what color hanky is
do
that?
I got a colon.
Brown.
No, I have a colon.
Beige.
A Kona colon.
Brown.
Cookie. Colon Kona cookie that I and Chris go for.
I think with that, you need a brown.
Okay, Chris.
A little bit of froth on top.
And notice I said Chris go. That was your
only if the froth is beige.
Let's hear some music.
So you ladies gonna stick around so we can get back to the BDSM leather topic?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's have some music, do station identification, the smoke break, and we'll be back. I'm gonna play.
Go feed the nicotine monkey.
Let's play some. Okay, let's go, hey, Chris, play Sophie Ellis Bexter. I love her English accent. It will really annoy Kirby.
That's yes, it will.
Thanks, babe.
Join KPFT on the night of the Pride Parade, Saturday, June 28th, for special programming all evening. We kick it off at 9 p.m. just after the parade starts with Queer Live Queer Planet, a three-hour LGBT Pride Month special from Pacifica Radio. We will look at Pride in the U.S. and internationally with stories of queer people in Bolivia, Nigeria, Cuba, and closer to home. We include thoughtful discussions as well as queer music and social satire, and we look at Pride celebrations around the country. And at midnight, KPFT airs Remembering Stonewall, a Pacifica Radio Archives documentary exploring the Stonewall Rebellion, whose anniversary provides the inspiration for these international celebrations. And then stay tuned for After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude from 1 to 4 a.m. Again, KPFT's Pride Programming Marathon starts the night of the parade, Saturday, June 28th at 9 p.m. right here on KPFT Houston.
I'm worth the wait. Don't need to know the end, 'cause darling, I-
Welcome back to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. I'm your host this evening. We've got the Sinfest people here.
Yay!
And we're talking about BDSM, leather, summer Sinfest, rock and roll peep show.
Kink.
Kink.
Bridging.
Yes, and I almost dropped my colon, but Michelle saved it for me. She saved my colon cookie.
I will always lift your colon up for you, baby. I'm here for that.
Oh, honey, you better be wearing, like, vinyl gloves when you do that. Okay. Yes.
I noticed I know the sound.
Please trim your nails.
Look, she's digging through her purse now. Look at this.
Let's
I love
see, what
it.
Do I have in here?
Nothing of it. Want to say a couple of things as far as announcements. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
Daddies.
And don't forget, tomorrow, or later today, I should say, is Daddy Amantra's contest. That's going to be over at Mary's. I think it starts at 4 or 5, 4 o'clock. Daddy Amantra's contest, 4 o'clock. Our current Daddy Amantra's, Daddy Stephen Bunch, will be stepping down, and the community will be electing a new Daddy Amantra's. So be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, let's get back to having our fun.
Just in case there's any question out there, don't panic. I'm not running.
Yeah. I'm not going to... I won't say... I'll say it off the air. I won't say it. If I say it on the air, the SEC will fine us. But, okay.
Wait,
so you can guess.
A little bit at this time right now. Yeah. I read the rules.
Yeah, these are the words you're not allowed to say.
Except between midnight and 5 a.m. Selectively.
Selectively. So if
you select to say something, it's okay.
And we will give the SEC your home address for the fine. They can send the ticket to you personally. So getting back to the differences between the leather culture, the BDSM culture, and how we can get everybody working together more harmoniously.
Well,
issues and what problems do you see between leather and BDSM not respecting each other?
Well, one of the things that I asked questions, I actually did take the time and ask what has kept us separate many times. And from both sides, I have gotten the same response. We don't want to see everybody having sex with their partners. And it doesn't matter if it's the gay people don't want to watch the straight people don't watch the gay people, whatever. Personally, I like to see anybody, so I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm totally down for the free porn.
You want to watch everyone.
Everyone. I want to watch some sex. But what people don't get is the play parties, like Summer Sinfest, there is no insertion allowed.
There's no sex.
There's no definable, not even Clinton-esque sex, okay? I mean... This is...
I hope somebody shows up in Monica Drag.
You'll see less sex than you will at Louis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I've been to Louis. Thank you. I have seen many things that make me giggle every time. And
always.
Then I got in trouble for spanking somebody at EJ's, and I was like, but I saw that happen there. And he was like, you didn't see that. I was like, I was standing 2 inches from that man's penis. I did too see that. You know? How dare you tell me I didn't see it.
2 inches, you're almost involved.
I was almost involved. I like a good show, okay? I was right there close enough to see it.
Oh, my goodness.
I just turned around at the right moment. But...
But
I think realize that the education and the communication skills that are taught are more important than the, quote, sex.
Well, do you think that
it helps
in the pansexual or the more heterosexual BDSM community, they're more afraid of seeing gay people play?
I don't think it's the play that scares them, because we've had lots of people who've bridged from both sides.
Okay. Because, I mean, I have been to dungeon parties and play parties where you'll see... A male dom put a male sub on the St. Andrew's cross for flogging or using a single tail or something, and the straight people get offended.
Oh, well, I don't run with
but
those people.
But I've also seen, on the other hand, I've seen straight people show up, and a female dom and a male sub or a male dom and a female sub will do the same thing, and the gay people will get offended.
It's a double-sided fence. It's the same thing. It depends on the people.
But it's also another venue you're going to.
Yes. And there's also the great misconception. My personal favorite. Everyone new to the community comes to me and says, wow, I really thought this was going to be the most open-minded, accepting, loving group of people because we're all pervs, and it turns out it's a bunch of cliques at times, and that there's all these politics, and I didn't come to this for that. Well, that's not all of it. You have to keep coming back and seeing that there's other things and people, and you get to know them, and you get
more
experience.
Well, there's politics and cliques in anything, in any organization.
Everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. I go to PTA, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
And I go to PTA.
You got those stupid-ass soccer moms that bake all the damn cookies, and you got the other moms that say, okay, so my kid forgot he wore his underwear on the outside, big whoop.
Well,
it was clean, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, I've got it even better. I've got it even better because
you've
women,
been talking to my grandmother again, haven't you?
The yeah, women I do PTA
I
with.
I called Oma this afternoon just to get that story, Kirby.
90% of the women that I'm in PTA with are women I went to high school with. And I was weird in high school. I had a mohawk in high school in 1986.
Woo-hoo,
and so,
woo-hoo, we did too.
Right on. Rock out, boys.
When I moved to Houston, my hair
was down
there. Yeah,
but she still has her hair.
I bet she has.
I have hair. I choose to shave it off.
Mine was 2 feet high with rainbow spikes.
I was
Liberty spikes.
Blonde, and it was
met him outside a bar in Seattle, and what are you looking at, Pops? And I was fresh off the boat from Germany, and he was like 21 years old. I'm like 15, 16.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
Yeah, Pops, and like 20 years later. 20 years later, he owns him.
Talk about karma.
Payback's not a bitch. In this case, payback's a bastard.
Payback's a Nazi.
When I was in high school, big hair was in, and I was in.
Well, and these women have all found out what I have done with my life.
Can you see this man with a Farrah flip or feathered hair?
Oh, no. I don't have the kind of hair that grows down. I have Carol King hair.
Got this picture.
My hair grows out. I had a helmet of hair.
A white afro.
Think Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michelle.
Oh, it's okay. But these women have all known what I've done with my life because it all came out for my 20-year reunion that I was kinky.
Well, when you show up in a leather bustier, you kind of give it away.
No, that's what I was about to tell you. I go, the one time you can get me to wear the uncomfortable femdom uniform is for PTA. I will go to PTA in full leather because I don't want them getting to me, and it's like my suit of armor.
Yeah.
You know, it's my protection, and they don't understand that. They think I'm just overdressed, and I'm like, no,
and people...
And there's clicks there,
no, darling,
too.
I've got PTA at 7. I've got a dungeon party at 8. Okay. I'm just dressing for the next event.
Yeah, I'm worried. I don't want to have to change clothes in between.
When
I'm underdressing for the costume change.
I actually had to change at my 20-year reunion because I was leaving to go to a dungeon party.
Oh, too far.
And I changed in the bathroom, and everybody got a tit shot because I wasn't wearing a bra and I was wearing a sheer shirt, and all the girls had their picture taken with me. It was hilarious.
This is what the freak ended up to be.
Yeah, the most unusual click.
One of the things that, I'm kind of old. And
you're only a little older than me.
Houston used to have some hellacious warehouse parties.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember those. Wait, and no, I don't. I'm too young for that.
Right.
One of the things, you know, it would be mainly heterosexual up until 11:45.
Uh-huh.
I'm really whacked at times. At 11:45, the NLA would come in.
Mm-hmm.
As they walked in,
we would take over and scare everybody.
Look, I got goosebumps. The first thing they did is they filled our frickin' donation jar.
Oh, yeah.
And they came in, and by midnight, they were set up. And they did stay to their little cloistered, but they would come in, and they would play, and it would be like, NLA's here, NLA's here. Because everybody would want to watch, because that was that step two.
Mm-hmm.
Because NLA at that time was far more organized than anything pansexual ever was. I mean, we were great at putting on a warehouse party, but we knew, you know, the heavy players come in after midnight, and the NLA would come in, and they would play, and they would socialize.
Well, thank you. That's a wonderful compliment, the heavy players, NLA. Love you. Well, we are. And trust me, we do play very hard.
Well, it was one of the things that they weren't going to show up at 8 o'clock, and
we give you all your space, your time to warm up and play and have your good time. Then we're going to come in and we're going to say, here's how we play.
But the problem was a lot of the pansexual community felt threatened, and they didn't respond back.
No, I remember those days, yeah.
They didn't respond back. They didn't go to the shows. They didn't go to Pride. They didn't, you know...
But again, in
well,
LA,
because they're not gay.
But also keep in mind, in LA was always...
I don't care who you sleep with. You're still going to need my help.
Okay, but keep in mind also that in LA was also doing educational seminars and classes.
But they weren't geared... When women would walk in, it would be like, well, what's she doing here? You know?
But in LA...
And it's changing.
But
in the last
they would be open.
2 years, NLA has really changed.
We have really... been working our asses off to get back to being the educational group. We're offering classes. We're doing all kinds of things on topics ranging from, like, leather protocol to having flogging demos, single-tail demos, wax demos, things like that. And it's the demos, when I say demo, I mean it's an educational demo. It's not a play party. It's not a play scene. What we are trying to do is what our mission statement says, educate you on the safe way to play in this scene. Here's how to do it properly. Here's how to do it safely. So everybody has a good time. If something happens, if there's, say you're playing with wax and you accidentally burn them, I mean, in a bad way. Okay, well, here's what to do. Don't panic. Here's the steps that you can follow. Here's the aftercare that needs to be provided. Mm-hmm. Same thing like with flogging, single tail. You hit too hard with single tail, you cut them open bad. And I mean, I've seen that happen. Mm-hmm. Some people are really into blood sports and that kind of pain. Fine. That's the limit you have negotiated.
It could be anything.
Anything.
You know,
I mean, you could tickle
heart
somebody
attack,
with, you could tickle somebody with a
attack,
feather.
Asthma.
But a lot of the scenes that we play in the BDSM community and in the leather community cultures, sorry, community culture.
It works.
But in the leather village culture, the BDSM culture, a lot of the scenes we play are more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually had someone go out on an emotional trip. And
I was saving
to
that
call
for later.
A scene no. And calm them down and bring them back to the now, and
then take them right back up again.
If that's what they wanted, yes.
But again, with the scenes we played, it is very easy to permanently damage somebody
forever.
That permanently
and
forever.
When some of that damage doesn't show because these scenes can work on
a psychological
and fears
level
and buried things,
landmines,
mm-hmm. and you can actually damage someone emotionally. That's why that safe word is so very, very important. We're going to take you to as extreme a level as you want to go,
and when you hit that
feels,
level,
the minute it doesn't feel right, call that safe word.
And
it's
we will bring
to leave
you back down.
A scene knowing that you could take more than to go too far and not ever want to go there again.
Yeah, but also keep in mind, when you're playing a safe word, they're not going to just immediately stop cold turkey. Well, I mean, in some scenes, like if you're using a single toe or something.
Yeah.
But there is a cool down. There's a rub down. They need
there's
to be there to protect
time.
You to protect you while you're coming back down from your high.
Yeah.
They're coming down from their high. They got to abuse you, and you loved it, and they loved it. The dom gets off. That's their high.
Well,
the sub gets off, that's their high, but they both need to protect each other, and there needs to be a circle of safety there.
I've had dominance ask me, well, you know, what if you do if something goes wrong? I says, you throw every ounce of pride that you have
out
the window,
uh-huh.
and you call 911. You tell them, I play kinky sex games, and you see, and this is what happened. You know, he fell off the ladder, and he broke his leg. I can't pick him up. 911.
Do not be like that pro-dom up in Massachusetts who butchered the boy and got rid of the body, thinking that was better than admitting she had caused a heart attack, or he had had a
heart attack
in the middle of their scene. Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, he had a heart attack
please.
In the middle
yeah.
of the scene, and instead of calling 911, and that's one of the first... I said, you've got to be able to put your own pride aside. To be a good dominant, it is not... You know, you have
taking
that pride.
Taking responsibility.
But you take that responsibility.
Put
but
your
it's,
pride
again,
on the shelf before the scene begins because it will not serve you.
But again, it's all about respecting that other person's limit and making sure that they are safe within the scene you were doing, whether
yep.
you're the dom or the sub. And I've been in a lot of scenes where the dom, well, not a lot, I've seen a couple of times that a dom has been performing a scene on a sub, and the dom is the one who freaked out
yes.
and had to call a safe word because it hit an emotional or a mental memory block
well.
Explosion.
I've actually called a scene because I was topping my wife and an ex-boyfriend of mine, and they started making out, which should have been fine and okay, but for some reason it triggered Psycho Michelle to come up, and I felt like all of a sudden the whips were turning into tools of destruction, and that I was working out my anger and frustrations, and I pulled back and I said, it's over.
And they were both so lost in the sub moment, and they were like, oh my God, why are you calling the scene? I said, because I can't cope.
Yeah.
I'm having a problem, and we're ending this because I'm uncomfortable.
But it's not just the sub who can call the safe word. It's
absolutely
not just the sub that has a limit. I know subs that will say, one of my favorites on the planet, Grunt, you can take a chain link flogger and beat this boy, and he just grunts for more. Mm-hmm. But, and as a dom, you've got to say, that's past my limit. I've got to stop here.
Yeah.
If somebody else, if another dom, if that's his scene and he's more comfortable performing that on, then you negotiate that scene. I've taken the scene as far as I am willing to go.
Well, I won't do needle play. I can't. I squick out on it. I don't even like to see other people do it, and yet they parade their great creations.
I can
in front
watch
of
it.
Me.
There's no way I'll do it.
No, I can't do it. And then people will come to me and they're like, oh, I'd really like for you to do this. And I'm like, no, you don't, because I don't do it. You
don't
want
do it.
Me to. It'll hurt you.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it.
I find
I'm
it fascinating to watch, but because I am not adept at it, and blood is a limit for me, and that
I'm
is blood play. So, you know, I'm fascinated to watch, and I learn by watching, but it's just not something that I will do.
Right. I watch, I will, even if it's a scene I'm not, it does not turn me on in any way, I still want to at least watch it, experience it, see it, ask questions when it's done, and find out what they are getting out of that scene, because that just better educates me. That makes me more informed.
If you've never seen needle play done, there are two lovely ladies that we've spoken of already this evening.
Elizabeth and Eva.
The lady from Whips.
They're needle scene in the Peep Show.
Yeah, they're actually in the Peep Show, and they're doing
it. If any of you were at the Masters of Leather competition wherein Mistress Elizabeth was named Mistress of Leather, she is repeating the same scene that she did as her competition performance, and it is incredible.
It is. We're not going to say what it is. Show up and find out. But
it is a phenomenal
scene.
Well, one of the things I wanted to mention real quick when we were talking about all this safety stuff, normally when you attend a public event of this size, the music overpowers the dungeon.
Right.
And you can't really communicate so clearly.
Verbally.
Right, with your partner. We have taken our dungeon and put it in a room with no music.
Yes.
The only thing you're going to hear is... That's all I want.
Well, no, but...
In my case, it would be giggling.
Giggling's good.
Oh,
I like giggling. I like tickling.
I mean, number one, if I play this way, there is a verbal command to stop. There is also a physical command. So if you cannot verbalize, say you've got... You just ball gagged. Now how is he going to say call his safe word if he's ball gagged? Or you got duct tape on him? Or he's got a hood on? So you have a safe word. There's also a hand signal or a foot gesture.
Yep.
Or if I lift my left leg, that means stop. There are physical gestures. Even if you're playing in a space where the music is so loud you cannot verbally hear or, you know, hear a verbal stop, I always have a verbal safe word and a physical safe word. So if they can't speak, some people get so far into the headspace, they've hit the headspace, they can't speak, but they're there. They've hit their limit, they're high in their space, but it's time to stop, but they can't say anything. So here's the gesture that I use.
I think coming unstrapped and hitting a tree would be a good sign.
Well, there's a lot of new people that they
Joe,
go
Joe, are you listening? Watch out for
what
that tree.
What is this headspace?
No.
And they play and they don't achieve that headspace. And it's...
But if you don't get there, then call the scene and say, the scene is not working for me tonight. I'm not getting there.
People don't even know what getting there is, though. Well, one of my things that I like to do, I don't like to cuff people up. A, I'm lazy and I'm short. All right? I just don't want to deal with it.
But see, I say I'm lazy. I don't do rope. I do handcuffs. They're faster.
No, I won't do any of it. No. And I play with a lot of strangers, and I've played professionally for years. One of the things I train people and tell them to do is when you're on the cross, you're not supported. You are. It's your choice. And the minute you drop your hands, that's a red. And
that's
I'm done with you. I will stop immediately. And I was playing this beautiful man. He was huge, and he was up on this cross, and I was bringing him to his knees practically, and he kind of wavered, and he put his hand released, and I stopped. And he turned around, and he goes, why did you stop? And I said, I told you if you took your hand down, I was not going to touch you anymore. Oh! And those hands went right back up. And then finally, he just kind of fell on the ground. He goes, I'm not touching you anymore. And I was like, okay, then we're done.
We're done.
You know, it's good.
I often will beat the crap out of Glenn. And I tell him, if you get up, that means you can take more. When you're done, just be done.
Mm-hmm.
And it took him a while to realize. I mean, because that's it's an internal fight.
Yeah, it is.
I don't want to let her go. I don't want to disappoint her. But how do I, you know...
But again, that's the issue of pushing your limit just a little bit further to see how much you can take and see if you can keep that high before it goes from good pain to bad pain.
Bad pain.
Pain is not a bad thing.
So I think that we should throw, like, this humongo pancake breakfast or something and have everyone come to it. Doesn't matter who you sleep with or what you sleep with. Everybody likes pancakes. Everybody likes pancakes.
Everybody likes pancakes for dinner.
And I think that if...
when we say what you sleep with, we mean consensually. We don't mean kids or animals, okay?
Because they cannot consent.
They cannot consent.
And, you know, I think that's one point we all share in common. In the community, there is that... Both communities. Or what we
call it.
Subcultures, microcosm, whatever word you and choose...
Village,
tribe, whatever. But, yeah, there's so many terms. We have a cornucopia here. But I think all of us talk about...
Consensuality.
You guys support SSE. We're RAC. Our family is risk-aware kink. We want to make sure you know what you're doing because we are edge players.
Mm-hmm.
Safe, sane, and consensual doesn't really work with a lot of the stuff we do, you know, when we're coming at you.
Well, honestly, I think it does because you have already negotiated the scene and saying this is how far I want to go with the scene.
So right. I mean,
you have negotiated the same part of it.
Right. But I mean,
say
some of the things we do, other people would consider to be insane
and so, not safe.
Yeah.
Right.
But for a more experienced player, you know what you're doing. You've had the experience.
The safety and sanity
your level
is
of
in
safe
the negotiation
from somebody else's level.
Everything is like
begins.
That, yeah.
That's where safety
I'm
and sanity
sure
come in.
I mean, like
if
I said...
If you're drunk, you're not safe.
No.
Don't play.
I've flogged people who have never been flogged before, and when I'm done with them, they are just like, thank you, that feels so good, when can we do it again?
They all flog.
But I adjust my level of play because I know. I talk to them and I negotiate. I say, have you played this? How far have you ever gone with the scene? And I adjust my play accordingly.
I've done hundreds
yes,
of first floggings. And the last one I
asked
did,
you.
The guy says, well, you know, I didn't really feel that it was erotic, but I felt like I feel like I just had a really intense massage. And I go, well, that's how you're supposed to feel.
That's why he giggles, you know, and everybody's like, oh, did that hurt? He's like, oh, go away.
Please.
You know? Right now, I'm sitting here going, and relaxing. He's rubbing my back because I'm sore from smacking him earlier.
And we're
you know?
All naked.
Oh, all naked. Every one of us.
Each and everyone.
Sir was playing me with the violet wand at, I think it was NLA last year.
Yeah.
Is that Spring Iniquity?
Up on the stage. Last year? No, not the stage.
No,
on
out
the cross,
on the patio.
On the cross.
Oh, out on the patio.
And
okay.
Yeah, when he did the like the thing that
oh yeah yeah
when
oh
it, like,
the with
the
rake
that, yeah
yeah
oh,
no, no
with,
the
with pointer
the pointer
oh with the pointer,
pointer
okay.
Yeah,
you never had the pointer
and I'm giggling he has it cranked up so high, he has it cranked up all the way and I'm giggling and people are like what is wrong with you? You're not supposed to be laughing.
With electricity.
You're not supposed to be laughing.
He's got that on high. You should be screaming.
I actually burned lines into his skin in a V at his from his neck down, and then a straight line down the center.
He looked like he'd been autopsied.
In the morning, he looked like he'd been freshly autopsied.
I went to work showing everybody, look, I got autopsied. I got autopsied.
Look, I was on CSI Miami. I was an extra.
They took the staples out just for me.
No, I told him next time I've got the pneumatic staple gun at work. He's going to do that, and we're just going to bring the staple gun and go pow.
Well, there is someone.
Well, he told me if I was really really good, he'd buy me a Barkey collar.
In the
ooh.
BDSM community, that they do the medical staples.
You know
I
what?
Love those.
Okay, but you know what we do with Barkey collars?
Oh yeah, there's a
those
yeah.
are a lot of fun.
Actually, some of the most wonderful penis torture I've ever seen was done. I'm on two mics. Was done by gay men, and I went to a party in Galveston one time where I saw, I don't know who these people were, but God, y'all were hot. The penis was mashed between two boards that were rigged with circuitry that zapped it the whole time.
Sweet.
Look, she melted the foam off my microphone.
It was the best. Absolute best. I love it.
I think that all the little villages need to interact more. Mm-hmm.
I think and, so, too. And, I think and, if we and, all just sat and, down and talked more often...
Big and pancake breakfast.
But again, like, we've been doing tonight. Yeah. We've just been sitting here talking, throwing our ideas and our concepts and our protocols back and forth. We're not fighting. We're not yelling. We're not screaming. We're having a good time. And we're learning from each other, aren't we?
And we have represented in this room leather, BDSM, and everything in between.
Gay, straight, bi.
We're all having a blast.
You know, asexual, bisexual,
people
no sexual,
trisexual. People who have no idea.
I don't think we have any of those in here.
Sexual willing to pan to anybody.
You know, and then, of course, we have Jimmy to top it all off.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Jimmy, the god of all sexual.
Thank you.
We love you.
I think that
I have a lifetime title.
Yes, and it's that we accept each other's protocols. We
it's a thing of respect.
It's a thing to ask, you know, and
it's respecting everybody else's feelings.
And on the reverse, if somebody does make a faux pas or just a blatant out, oh, the day's screwed up. That's the time to educate and not come and go.
Okay, but
crap. You know,
but again, educate them. When you educate them, don't call them on it in a public venue.
In a public venue,
and yell them down and shout them down and say, "Come here, can we please speak in private?" And say,
"Exactly,
this is what I saw that happen, and this shouldn't have happened this way. Let's sit down and talk about this, and I'll tell you, this is how we do it here." But there's a lot of times I see, I've had BDSMers come up to me when I have been flogging. You don't do that right. Who the hell are you to tell me how I flog or don't flog? Who the hell are you to tell me I can't use two floggers? Who says I can't switch back and forth in my hands? Who says I can't flog up instead of down? I actually had one don say, "You're not supposed to use a flogger that way. You're supposed to throw it down, not up." And I said, "Ask him what he thinks."
Depends on what I'm doing.
Thank you.
Nobody else defines.
How dare you define my play?
I've been in positions where...
But you call me out in public, fine. If you want to afterwards say, "Why were you doing it that way? Because I've never seen it done that way before. And let's get the sub and come over and let's sit down and talk. And they can tell you what they're getting out of it. I'll show you what I'm getting out of it." I don't have muscle cramps because I do that.
I've gone through and had to teach people how to avoid tennis elbow. Yeah. How to salvage a rotator cuff.
Right.
Because you see the newbies and they're like, "I'm going to do it this way." And you're like, "Oh, seriously, you're going to regret that
you're
tomorrow.
You're going to hurt yourself."
Yeah.
Yeah, and I won't call them out then, but I do take the time to step aside and say, "Can I, as someone who understands this, can I explain the physical semantics of, or the, the physicality of this to you so that you don't harm yourself?" So much more warmly received than, "Why are you throwing it that way?"
The difference in the social protocols that I would like to bring up, because this seems to be a real sore subject and a real pain, a real thorn in everybody's side, is how you recognize who is who. I was at the Ripcord in full leather, and a BDSM woman walked directly up to me and said, "No one here believes that you are or ever were leather, because no one here has ever seen you play."
Oh, yeah.
That was the most ridiculous and obnoxious thing I had ever heard in my life. It was everything that I could do to summon the dignity to ignore her and walk away. I understand that in...
And you don't know that how...
You can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I do understand, because I'm...
You can correct me if I'm... Yes. You can correct me...
Oh, I know the whole other side of the story.
You can correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding of BDSM as a culture is that people rise through the ranks by demonstrating proficiency at some type of play. This person is a master of the whip. This person is a master of the flog. This person is a master of the paddle. It doesn't work that way in leather culture. Leather masters are mentored and covered. Covered meaning being presented with your first cover by demonstration of the knowledge of the social aspects of the protocols of leather. It has nothing to do with your play. We do engage in BDSM play. Some leather people aren't kink at all.
Right.
But they observe leather protocols because it's part of who they feel they are
we
as
call
people.
Those people the DS.
To have to have someone walk up to me and say that I am not to be believed as a leather person simply because they have not seen me play.
Then you should come out more often and watch him play.
I was so tempted to say, and you know what? You never will either.
Well, and there are those that never play outside the house, and that's their choice.
But just
I do, but I do when I want to, and for my own reasons.
I'm not sitting here in full leather.
Nor am I.
None of us are.
I mean, shorts and tennis shoes.
No, that's not true.
He's not in full leather.
He's impartial. Yeah.
Well, no.
All he's got is his vest and his collar on. That's all he's got on.
And that's enough.
Doesn't have his G-string on?
No. But, okay, I'm not wearing my vest. I'm not wearing my vest. I'm not wearing my boots. I'm not wearing my chaps. Does that make me less of a leatherman?
Oh, no. I've gone through this with people forever.
Just because you aren't wearing leather doesn't mean you aren't leather.
Yeah.
You don't have
leather's
to.
Leather's in the heart, not in the, you know, on the
exactly.
Book.
My leather isn't in my clothing. It's in my heart and my mind.
Right. Yeah. And and for those of us who are, as I'll use buzz term, old school, you earned your leather. You didn't go to the store and you buy
Every piece
of leather you own was gifted to you. It was a reward for... It was an acknowledgement and a reward for where you are in the leather world.
Acknowledgement of your growth.
And so... Like I said, the funniest thing on the planet, and this guy still comes out, I'm not going to say who it is, but a harness that is sub-gear, that
and
is sub-gear,
a lid.
Will wear a harness,
and then come out
wearing a harness, a collar, a master's cap.
Oh, he knows better.
I thought so, but...
And
no, not that.
If we're lucky, it's blue jeans and flip-flops. Sometimes it's shorts.
Or pantyhose.
And flip-flops.
Or and pantyhose.
And that, to me, right there says...
I think you signed that well.
But this is what we're doing. And when you try to educate them, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not wearing leather. You don't know what leather is.
We're trying to read sign language.
We're talking back and forth in sign language right now because we're talking back and forth in sign language really, saying who it is. So,
but it's... Those things happen in every community. You always get the weird ones.
But those are the ones that you want to educate because they're obviously interested in the lifestyle.
They want to try. They're trying.
But they're trying. But somebody needs to sit down and teach. And I always say, yes, it gets really annoying when you get all these cologne circuit boy people coming over into our territory, as we call it. But they wouldn't be there if they weren't interested in the lifestyle and wanting to learn. So, I mean, we need to, just because they show up in a leather bar wearing jeans, a t-shirt, some cologne, some mousse in their hair, they're there either for two reasons. They're either there to try to get laid, or they're there, and the ones that keep coming back are the ones that are very interested in learning, and the only way they know is if they keep coming and hanging out, maybe one of these leather people will talk to them.
Stop making faces at us and calling you, ooh, look at the Mr. Daddy Man.
But again, I might want to talk to you, Mr. Daddy Man.
But again, there's
don't call me Mr. Daddy Man.
But again, there's a difference between the people that go out strictly
and
to get
laid. Don't call me, sir.
They go out to get laid, and the people who keep coming back and keep coming back because they want to learn, but they're afraid to come talk to us. That's when we need to step up and go say, hi, I'm...
There are those certain protocols that are just not being taught anymore. Because they're like, I'm going to do it my way. My way is the only way. Well, okay,
for your house, but there is a larger public protocol that should be followed.
Remember where we were playing.
And that public protocol is respect.
It was filled with S&M, BDSM, it was filled with people that think they're kink. And
I like how you put that, think they're kink.
They're vanilla with sprinkles.
Chocolate sprinkles.
Oh, y'all are not the only ones who talk nasty about folks.
Well, no.
I just got done.
No, I just liked hearing it. I love the way she phrased it in two languages.
That's right.
I got done playing him.
Three, he was doing sign.
And I need my little moment afterwards. I mean, I know they always talk about subspace, but, you know, there's that top drop that happens.
Yeah.
And I need a cigarette, I need a Coca-Cola, and I need to be alone just for a few minutes.
Exactly.
They swarmed him and said, you know you don't have to take that.
That's a
Yes, I do.
No, I don't have. I don't have to take that. I asked for it. Thank you.
I've actually been given pamphlets on domestic abuse.
Yes, from people.
You know,
but see, this is a big thing with NLA.
I made paper airplanes
out of them. Project. NLA yes. has NLA International and Houston
because
is part
that
of that
violence
domestic violence project, and it's learning the difference between the way we play and what domestic violence
and
is.
What abuse yeah,
what
is.
What the difference is between play
and abuse
and domestic abuse. And there is a very fine line there. The difference is negotiation or the lack thereof.
Negotiation.
And he's driving me home, so I'm not going to do too much to him that he's not going to be able to drive home.
Right.
Well, okay, he just needs the right leg and one hand to drive, right?
Exactly.
Well,
for instance,
I will not. I
he
will
can wear
not
a patch on the other.
Oh, come on, if Stevie Wonder can drive.
Yeah.
I will not pick up a flog if I'm angry.
Oh, no.
No, I will never play
when
I'm
you
angry.
Swing, the spirituality of this, and this crosses the line between leather and BDSM, because this is part of BDSM as play, everything you're feeling comes through that whip. And you're striking the back of that person with everything that you're feeling at that moment. And if you're angry,
never pick it up.
That
anger
strikes them, and what they're feeling is not a pleasant sensation. So if I'm angry, I will not pick up a flog.
Now I will voice a secondary situation with that. I have been angry at another human being who was sitting on the other side of the dungeon wall. Okay, they were literally sitting in the driveway. I could hear them talking to their wife. I was very upset that I had not been chosen over the wife in this dynamic, and I was furious. That loving brother of mine over there took a beating, was every bit of rage and hurt because he watched me crying in my garage and knew I was falling apart in a party I was hostessing. And I took one
but
look.
She wasn't angry at him.
Right.
I wasn't angry at him, but he knew I was angry and I was hurting, and he was like, I'm here for you.
He became a willing vessel for your anger.
Mm-hmm. And I was able to use that transference of energy to drain the negativity away from me,
and
push it away.
And he gave you the positive back.
He fed me. He made me whole again. Right. He was able to giggle and laugh and have fun, and I was able to cry. Okay. And
but he is also somebody who is, as I gather, an experienced player and knew he could take what you needed.
Yeah.
He knew what he could take, what you needed to get out of you.
Absolutely.
And so he offered that.
He
that's consensual.
That
and to take that energy and channel it back to you in a positive way, that's brilliant.
There's a certain beauty in that. And in my leather family, Master Daryl and his slave Cindy have a very symbiotic relationship in that if he is angry, she becomes a willing vessel for his anger. And they have been together for years, and they are some very heavy players. She knows what she can take, and she said that she has even gone beyond what she probably should have because it was necessary at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she became a loving and willing vessel for that. I'm talking about if somebody asks me, if I'm out on the patio of the Ripcord and I've got my flogs with me, and somebody walks by and really cheeses me off, and I'm ready to strangle somebody, and then somebody bebops up and says, I've never been flogged before. Would you flog me?
Daddy man.
Yeah, that's not the
Mr. Daddy man.
At this moment, I am not in a real good headspace to do that, but please ask again.
Right, I do that too. I've had people come up on the wrong night, and I've actually attended parties where I knew people would ask me to play with only one toy in my toy bag, and that lovely lady over there gave it to me. It was the top of a bamboo fishing rod.
Sweet!
Yeah, oh, it was like hitting them with a telephone antenna. I mean, a TV antenna or something. It's just wish it. And people were like, I really want to play with you tonight. And I went, this is the only toy I brought. You really want to play with me tonight? Because I'm in a crappy mood. And they were like,
a shorter version.
They're like, I think I'm going to go outside and have a cigarette.
It's nastier.
I have a dressage whip. Yes. I love it.
This is nasty.
I won't play angry.
I'm just looking at Kirby's eyes, see if Kirby likes that whip.
Because the anger comes through the toy.
Yeah, everything you feel comes
even
through
the
toy.
Even though, I mean,
but conversely, from a sub's point of view, sometimes we have bad days and don't really feel like being played, but sometimes it's good therapy, sometimes it's not.
Well, I think it provides
having that communication between your dom and
And if I don't know you well enough to know the difference, then we don't need to be playing.
Yeah, but there are some days when I don't
feel well, you can't really sense it or feel it, but I or see
oh,
it.
Oh yes,
but,
I can.
You know, there are days that I just I don't want to be bothered by you or anybody else, and just leave me alone. And you know, but I've got to be respectful. And sometimes that's
be careful about
difficult.
Thinking out loud, boy.
I know.
I'm sitting here beside you, going duct tape,
he's
duct
digging.
Tape.
Yeah, no, silence is golden. Duct tape is silver.
But no, I'm talking about both sides of the coin. I mean, sometimes it's very therapeutic. Sometimes when you've had a bad day and you just want the crap beaten out of you, just to make you feel better. And then there are days when you're just kind of, I don't really want to, you know.
But all relationships are give and take.
But I do have that ability to say so. I do know some subs, however, who do not have that privilege to say so. If they don't want to play,
they have no choice.
But and
that is
really
how they negotiated
sad.
Their family contract.
Exactly. The only time you don't get a choice is when you're being punished.
But and that's not the same as play. They both start with P, but it's not the same experience.
But when he punishes, he doesn't punish Kirby by striking him or hitting him.
Oh, yes, I do.
You can shun him.
Oh, yes,
now,
I do.
Now, the best punishment I have ever seen you...
I have a specific strap that I use for that.
I know, and you have a specific counting system as well.
I have a specific paddle.
But the best punishment I've ever seen you exact on him...
Oh, and it's the worst. It is the very worst
two
punishment
days of
that
silence.
A master,
you wouldn't talk to me, and I was like, talk to me, please. I don't know what I did, but I won't do it again,
days.
I promise. No, one of the techniques I was taught by the first leather family I was in, they actually taught me the trick was to go to a party and take the toy along, take the pet along, and put them in the corner. And let them watch everybody else play.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that hurts.
You're not allowed to have...
Oh, look at him. He's like... I haven't, no.
He doesn't get punished.
Okay.
I actually silenced a boy and
that's what the
smell was. And made him watch me flog somebody else.
Uh-huh.
The worst thing is when he starts counting. I know... I need to check
that's
my
what
behavior.
I was saying. When he starts counting in German,
I've done a serious bad thing.
There is a
that's
reason
when he
for
runs
that.
Under the runs under the bed and shakes his little tail like a bad doggy because he knows he's going
to. There is
headed.
A reason for that, and I want to discuss this because I want people to hear this. I know that there are other people out there who have seen this, and I frankly find it disgusting. The people who punish their slaves in public as a means of performance. That is just, to me, I can't stand that. I will not punish my slave for your entertainment. That is not the reason I punish him. I punish him to modify his behavior. So I don't punish him in public. When we're in public, if he starts misbehaving or is doing something that I don't approve of, I simply start counting. He hears the word one, and whatever it is he's doing, he had better stop doing it before I get to two, because every number that I reach, that's a number of times the strap is going to hit where he sits when we get home. I don't punish him in public, but I can modify his behavior by letting him know, you've got punishment coming, and the number I reach is how many times that thing's going to connect when we get home.
But then again, what you also got to keep in mind to play the devil's advocate, there are people whose fetish is public humiliation.
Yes.
And they specifically, the sub will go out and specifically do something on purpose to get in trouble because
that's where the shun comes in.
But then again,
isn't that play?
I don't agree with that type of play. I don't think humiliation or degradation is a healthy form of play because I don't think it's productive. I think it's counterproductive to a relationship.
And that sort of play belongs in the home.
That sort of play, if you're going to play that, play in private because all the public sees and all anybody else around you sees in public is that you're being degraded, you're being humiliated, you are being abused.
Mm-hmm.
It may be consensual. You two are the only ones that know this.
Well, it's all the porn that they see where the guy comes in and she's in the boots and the boots may or may not be on the right feet and she's pig dog maggot. Come on, pig dog maggot. And I don't know, after you...
Some people get off on it. I don't get off on humiliation or degradation.
I think if you're called a pig dog maggot enough, you start believing you're a pig dog maggot.
Well, I had a client show up.
And I find that destructive to a relationship. The symbiotic nature of it.
Symbiosis.
The trust of it, the synergy, is you're destroying the synergy of that relationship.
I had a client who showed up. I'm sorry, baby.
That's my perspective.
I had a client who showed up, and he was relentless in humiliation. We did the rest of the scene. He was like, you didn't humiliate me. And I looked at him, and I said, did you just pull up in that Humvee?
And he goes, yeah. I said, you're a gas-guzzling pig. You should be ashamed of yourself. What's wrong with you? What are you, working for the oil companies? And I, like, turned on him. And he just went, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. Red, red, red. And I was like, oh, did I get too personal? You know, what he wanted was the dog pig maggot. And what he got was, you're killing our earth. You're doing this incredibly bad thing.
He wanted the phrases that he read in that really bad one-handed novel he read.
He didn't realize I'd go straight into reality and pull him out of his space
and
that.
Everybody, you know, they have those different fetishes that they like to play in. Michelle and I, there was a gentleman. And
we love him.
he was a African-American gentleman and wanted to play where he was my slave.
Racially?
And I had to call everyone I knew and go, I need some racial slurs. I don't know. And they're like, listen to hair. They got a whole big thing in there. And I'm calling everybody, give me some racial slurs. So I'm writing them all down, and we're quizzing each other. Okay, this is this one. This is this one.
And we got even better. We went to Jared, you know, because he's from South Africa, the bartender over at EJ's, and got words from a whole other country to call
him. Oh,
yes.
You know? So we're sitting there, and we think we can do this mentally. And then we realize...
I can't do it.
As a good spiritually.
Good Southern woman, I just couldn't do
and
it.
The only thing that I could think of was white effing goddess.
Uh-huh.
I am the white effing goddess.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing that we could think of, because otherwise we were just laughing.
We couldn't call him the name.
Okay, of course he didn't. He never called back. Of course, we just couldn't.
He wanted race play, and you couldn't go there.
We couldn't go there because it was just like.
And we tried. We really tried, but then we did start laughing, and he thought our laughter was so humiliating. He was offended.
Because to you, what was coming out of your mouth sounded more like a comedy routine than a play scene.
Oh, it was.
It wasn't us. It wasn't us at all, and we're mean.
Hey, well, you know, it's almost 4 a.m.
I've actually heard people criticizing Master Buzz because he's not stern enough with me.
You're not real leather people. You laugh and have too much fun.
We've actually been told that.
Yeah.
You guys aren't real leather people. You laugh too much.
I want to thank everybody for being here tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Master
Buzz.
Again, Summer Sinfest Rock and Roll Peep Show is Saturday, July 19th at the Meridian.
Come help Legacy.
Yeah, and it's going to be helping Legacy. Get out there, have some fun, learn something,
have
a blast.
Come meet some cool people.
www.summersinfest.com. Summersinfest.com.
We're also on MySpace. MySpace.com/SummersinFest.
And don't forget, Daddy Amancho's contest Sunday starts at 4 o'clock at Mary's. And Chris, Sunday. Thank you so much. Have a good night, people.
Thank you,
Chris is going to take you out with a cool song and doing whatever he needs to
actually
do.
Actually, we don't even have time for a song.
Okay, no song. Bye.
Is it food time now?
You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We'll be back again next week with After Hours. Don't forget, this is Pride Month. If you want more information on the Pride Parade and any of the official events that are going on, go to pridehouston.org. And we'll remind you again of the special programming we're going to have here at KPFT for Pride. We'll be back next week. Coming up at the top of the hour, Zydeco Pasale.
Join KPFT on the night of the Pride Parade, Saturday, June 28th, for special programming all evening. We kick it off at 9 p.m. just after the parade starts with Queer Life, Queer Planet, a three-hour LGBT Pride Month special from Pacifica Radio. We will look at Pride in the U.S. and internationally with stories of queer people in Bolivia, Nigeria, Cuba, and closer to home. We include thoughtful discussions as well as queer music and social satire, and we look at Pride celebrations around the country. And at midnight, KPFT airs Remembering Stonewall, a Pacifica Radio Archives documentary exploring the Stonewall Rebellion, whose anniversary provides the inspiration for these international celebrations. And then stay tuned for After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude from 1 to 4 a.m. Again, KPFT's Pride Programming Marathon starts the night of the parade, Saturday, June 28th at 9 p.m. right here on KPFT Houston.
Join KPFT on the night of the Pride Parade, Saturday, June 28th.
Staff and listeners would like to thank the following restaurants for their continued support of KPFT. When you dine at these restaurants, please say thank you to them for their support of KPFT. Mojo Rising Coffee House, 1600 Shepherd, Jimmy John's, 3231 Southwest Freeway, Auntie Chang's Dumpling House, 2621 South Shepherd, Tacos A Go-Go, 3704 Main Street, Texas Tamale Company, 9087 Knight Road, Otto's Barbecue, 5502 Memorial Drive, Shipley's Donuts, 3932 North Main, Cafe Montrose, A Taste of Belgium, 1609 Westheimer. If you are a restaurant owner and would like to donate food to the station during our fund drives, please contact Oseye at 713-526-4000. Your food donations are tax deductible. Thanks to all the volunteers who donated their time to help KPFT Houston. The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.